Hey, good evening, everyone. Adequate notice of this meeting, which is August 13th, 2018, at 7:04, was required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 2nd, 2018, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was mailed to the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Parker?
Here.
Ms. Parrott?
Here.
Ms. Sheehan?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here.
I rise to a point of order that Robert's Rules requires the Assembly to adopt the agenda. And we haven't never adopted an agenda.
It's in the code. The agenda's in the code.
I move that we, the particular agenda in front of this, not the sequence of business, which is in the code, but this agenda doesn't follow that sequence. But I move that the after the chair seeks any amendments, that there be that we're not allowed to act on an agenda that the body has not adopted.
I don't think that's accurate.
Overruled.
It's up to you, Matt.
I appeal the chair's decision.
Take it to a vote.
Stating the question? Would the chair state the question?
The question is, do we want to formally adopt the agenda, tonight's agenda, even though it's already in our code book that it is adopted?
Discussion?
I think we should adopt tonight's agenda and keep on with the meeting.
I second that with if we request that.
Was that a motion?
There are any
amendments. That was a motion. Yeah,
that wasn't a motion, was it?
I move that we continue tonight's meeting.
So that is a motion.
Yes.
Okay. I thought you moved to. You're not moving to adopt the agenda.
I move that we followed through on the agenda as printed and in the Asbury Park Press and the Trenton Times as stated.
Hold on. Just procedurally, there was a response from the chair. From a council person who was challenging the agenda as it is.
Okay.
The chair ruled on it, mm-hmm. Right?
The chair ruled, also seeking the advice of
the
municipal attorney.
So the vote is to
attorney.
Affirm or overturn the chair's
right.
decision?
Yeah, to appeal.
This, yeah, this vote is to accept my decision as the chair
yes.
or overturn it.
I move to accept the decision of the chair. Okay.
I
second.
I second.
Roll call.
Roll call.
No discussion. I would adopt the agenda provided we add to it the email from Emma Quackenbush dated 8/10/2018 that was sent to every council member.
You could just raise that new business, though.
The gentleman's out of order, not a member.
Really never been treated like this by anyone.
As I said earlier today, Greg Cannon is our municipal attorney. He is our paid attorney to provide legal municipal advice and guidance to the mayor and council. So when there's a question at the table or in the audience that needs to be clarified, Greg Cannon is the one who is here to clarify it for us.
Non-legal questions?
I'm just trying to help us move along.
Non-legal questions,
you
Chair?
Put it on a new business.
Chair, does that include non-legal
no,
questions?
No, it includes anything having to do with the borough business.
So it is non-legal.
Maureen, if you want to try to get me into semantics, Greg
not
gave
semantics.
Advice. I accept his advice. I agree with his advice. And now we have called the question. So we've had a motion and a second to agree with my overruling. We'll have a roll call.
So is the motion to accept the ruling of the chair?
Yes, to accept the ruling of the chair.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
No.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to thank everyone for coming out tonight, and I appreciate those of you who are here this afternoon and came back again 2 hours later. For those of you who weren't here this afternoon, our borough engineer, Carmela Roberts, gave a lengthy presentation on road and water main replacement projects that are on the agenda for tonight. The council and the public asked a lot of good questions, and the borough engineer went through a myriad of options for addressing our water mains. Most importantly, a lot of different opinions were expressed by the council and the public. Before we start debating the issue again tonight, as mayor, I want to focus first on where we all agree rather than where we may not agree. The borough's engineer report this afternoon made one thing crystal clear. The State Department of Transportation has provided Roosevelt with almost $1.5 million in funding in the last 10 years to fix our local roads. These are use-it-or-lose-it grants. And more importantly, if we don't use what is allotted to us, we risk funding in future years. Right now, Roosevelt has $560,000 in pending state grants, $350,000 for Narco Road and Elm Court, and $210,000 for Homestead Lane and Cedar Court. These grants have deadlines by which the borough engineer must design the projects and then bid and award them by next spring, or we risk losing the grant funding. So to be clear, the meeting tonight is about two things. The road replacements is the first thing. The second thing are the water main replacements. So I want to hear from everyone tonight, but please note that there are two public hearings. First, the road bond to match the state funding, and second, the water main replacement bond. We will ensure that the appropriate items are being discussed in the appropriate hearing, so that if you're here to talk about the water mains, please wait until the second hearing so that we can deal first with the road bonds in the first hearing. I'm committed to hearing everyone out on the water main issue tonight, but even if it means continuing into the public hearing, into the next council meeting, we can do so. I would, however, implore the council to move forward with the road replacement bond to match the state funds. Let's pass the bond and get the funding necessary to have the borough engineer start at least working on the road work so we can meet the grant deadlines with time to spare. I think we all agree that the roads have to be done, and we need state money to keep doing that, so we don't want to leave it to chance. I hope that we can all move at least a portion of this project tonight, even if we continue discussing the water mains and the rest of it going forward. Let's just please get part one going tonight, which is the road paving. Thank you again to the public for coming out, and let's get started with our agenda. Okay, we come to public comment, agenda items only. Burton. Oh, I'm sorry, 7:13 p.m.
I'm a little confused. Forgive me. Are we going to...
Hold on, please state your name and...
Burton Ellenthal, 22 Homestead Lane. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are we going under public comment? You have asked, as I understand it, you have asked to public comment at this time be devoted only to the road bond, and that public comment on the water main will be deferred until later in the meeting. Is that what I heard?
No.
Okay.
The bond procedure?
Sure.
There's two bonds on the agenda.
Yes.
Bond 1805.
Yes.
And bond 1806.
Okay.
1805 is about the roads. 1806 is about the water mains.
Okay. So we
that was what the mayor was referring to. The public comment period is, you know, the same we do every other week.
Okay.
We're just asking that at the public hearing on the road bond, stick to the roads. And then the okay. public hearing on the water.
Okay, I'll stick to the road. one of the reasons that the road, we got so much money for the road bomb is not because we're just repaving the road, it's because we're ripping up the road. And so that has to be taken into account for the additional cost, our additional cost, because we're getting a $520,000 bond.
Mr.
But we pick up 300.
Mr. Ellington, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Point of
Could
order.
You wait for the public hearing to do that?
I'm sorry.
Gentlemen,
too
is out
too many
of
voices.
Order.
With
gentlemen, please sit
Mayor,
down. I appeal
the
chair's determination
yeah.
that the gentleman's out of order.
Mayor, can I have the floor?
Yes, you may.
I appeal the chair's
so
determination.
So given this town's history of
I
bonds and stuff
the chair's
like that, what I'm concerned
I'm
about
sorry, I can't make
I don't
out.
Know why she's screaming at
I appeal
you
the chair's.
You haven't been recognized
I appeal.
As a speaker.
I appeal. The gentleman is not a member of this body. Only members are permitted to speak.
That's not true.
I will read it.
So
you are not given permission to read it now. You have been ruled out of order. Please.
I'm out of order.
Let's continue.
Please continue.
But
please
I'm a member. Just
please
so I understand. I'm out of order, but the non-member is in order speaking.
Please let Mr. Cannon continue.
Job's to make sure that everything's done properly so that everyone who has legal challenges can make them accordingly. So you're talking about the road bond. There's going to be a public hearing that's opened and then closed as a matter of official record.
Right.
And if you, so the bond is challenged later or someone needs to review the record on that bond, it's better for you to talk about what you're going to talk about right now in about 13 minutes when we get to the public hearing on the road bond so that it's on the proper record and it can
fine.
Be challenged
I don't
properly.
Have a
that's
problem.
All I'm trying to say.
I don't have a problem with that. I
that way,
clarify,
I'm just trying to keep
all.
It clean because I know this. The town has had bond issues before, and I'd
right.
like them to make sure that we're
okay.
not all over the place if this ever ends up in court someplace. That's
okay.
all I was trying to say.
Persons having the right to participate, that
I
is
not
members
recognized
or
by
apparently.
The chair. You were not recognized by the chair. You can continue, Bert.
Thanks. This, I'm going to ask this question about this bond, and I will ask it again on the next bond, so be prepared. What's the term of the bond?
That's a 10-year term.
It's a what?
The road bond?
Yeah.
10 years.
It's a 10-year term, and what will that, the bonded portion, what's that going to cost us on a yearly basis on the tax rate?
Well,
give it a shot.
Well, I don't see a major impact with regard about on the taxation side because we don't have the issues that we have on the water side. So I don't see a major impact. Historically, the bids have come in lower than what we put the bond for. We've always been able to cancel a portion of the debt. So, you know, we can work it in with our existing debt from most likely.
Okay.
So I don't see a significant impact up or down.
To you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to the budget.
Point of information.
And
I asked that
taxpayer?
Question. I asked that question.
The chair is not recognized.
Point of information. $31,000 a year.
That's the cost of the bond.
Well, that's
yes.
3-10 divided by 10 years. But
yeah, we were just
okay,
we had
so
a discussion at a prior workshop
yeah.
meeting.
Okay.
It was
so
informational session 3 weeks ago, and simple math. Our net
yeah.
cost maximum. 10 divided by 10 years is the useful life of this project. There's
okay.
a 10-year maximum,
okay.
31,000 at least, plus interest.
Plus interest.
Yes. But,
I mean,
but there's other factors going on in the budget at the same time, too, so it may not
yeah.
have a $31,000 impact. But if you just look at that in itself, yeah, it's 31,000. But you got to look at the whole budget together.
I usually look at the budget, and certainly, well, although it may seem the same, it usually goes up as inflation creeps in and everything else.
Here we've been pretty flat.
Okay.
You know,
I will also go repeat something that I said earlier in the day, which is that the bond language requires that plans and specifications for this project be on file at the Borough Hall or some other place available to the public. That has not happened. I will tell you that I have a call into the Division of Local Government asking them if that has any impact on the bond issue. And I think on this issue, this issue as in the general issues, since we have no exact information, I think that to a great extent we are flying blind. And I think that both these issues, if I make that statement, require a lot more information and a lot more investigation. Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak? Mr. Cragen?
Sorry, Bob Cragen, 7th School Lane. This comment now is only for the bond for
anything on the agenda.
The roads.
Anything
not for, not for the agenda.
No. Anything on the agenda.
And the agenda.
Anything
it's on
the
agenda.
Agenda, you can comment on now.
Okay. Well, let's start with the roads, I guess, first. The what Bert said was very sensible. He's speaking from years of experience and years of been there, done that. And I think that we should listen to him and at least consider that maybe it's worthwhile postponing any decision on the bond for the road because maybe we don't have all the information. And then the other thoughts that I had about the road is that, sure, we need to repave the roads, but it needs to be looked at in a long-term, sustainable, ongoing program, not just as a one-shot for a couple of quarts and a piece of homestead, not just a one-off kind of approach. The thought being that, yes, we have this money given to us from this grant, but then how much out-of-pocket do we have to spend to match from our own bonded indebtedness to match that? I think it's a couple hundred thousand dollars. So,
$210.
How much?
I'm sorry, $310.
Three.
It's in the title of the bond. It's 520 and 310.
$310 out of our own money. So the question then becomes a question, if you forget about the grant as an attractive idea, free money, who wouldn't take it? But what that free gift is doing is obligating us then to spend the $310, which may not be best spent on a partial solution to the roads. If we're going to be tearing up the roads anywhere, shouldn't that be part of a long-term sustainable plan that would allow us to have a kind of a faith that there's light at the end of the tunnel rather than a continual piecemeal way to approach this? I'm getting there. It was mentioned that if we don't use the grant that we would risk losing that in future years. Where does that come from? Is that just a chicken little, the sky is falling, let's be careful or we're going to have a problem with that, or is that something that's real?
Well, the thing is, you're going to have to fix the road anyway. You might as well fix it when you have the state participating.
No, I completely disagree. Yes, we should do
it. Well, there's a recommendation of our engineer to maintain our infrastructure, and you want to take advantage of the money that's there. And it doesn't mean we're going to spend $310,000 of our own money.
It could be $300,000. But yeah. The point is, and I'm saying this to the engineer this afternoon, I'm saying this to you now, sir, that the key point is that we should be looking at this as a holistic, meaning an entirety, rather than piecemeal.
I think it is, and the engineer looks at which roads are going to give us the best chance to get funded.
I completely disagree with that characterization, sir. That's not what I understood from the engineer. It's not what I understand from the actual facts on the
Mr.
table.
Craig.
That's what I understand from the engineer and the whole process. I've been involved in municipal government for probably off and on for 20 years now. And that is the process, and there is a plan. The engineer is consulted prior to the DOT grant deadlines coming up. She has a map of what roads were repaired recently, which ones weren't, how long ago they were repaired. And on a rotating basis, you go and you look at the road system and you say, which road are we most likely to be able to qualify for DOT grant money? She's done a hell of a job with that. $1.5 million in a decade, small towns just don't usually get that.
Tiny towns.
So hold on. I'm not done because you asked the question. So $1.5 million over 10 years on a rotating basis, you look at the roads, you say, okay, we did Homestead in the first part of Homestead in 2015,
12.
Something like 2012.
2012.
So the engineer goes and says, okay, they're likely to approve the second half because they like continuous projects. that end up with county highways, that kind of thing, because that intersects with 571. Also, maybe we can get road money for some of the courts, too, because they're not likely to approve just an application for a small court with a few houses on it. It just doesn't meet their criteria. So you add that onto it. So now you have, you know, the second phase of Homestead Lane and a court on there, and it gets approved because the engineer knows how to do this, knows how to work the grant system. That's how you do it with grants. So you have a road grant that's part of a process already. Homestead was already done. Half of it was already done. So you're tagging onto that. All of Homestead then is going to be completed. It does make sense over time. And it is playing the grant system. Yeah, it is. Because that's a significant source of money. We cannot afford to do the roads in our town without this kind of grant money. We can't. We'd be putting out all of that money. So there is a system, and you can see it if you look at the NJDOT grant application summary.
It is systematic,
yes. You can see that it's systematic over a period of years of repairing roads as you go along. We've done that for ages.
Through different administrations also.
Different administrations. This grant was under a previous administration. It was applied for close to 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, and we got the grant money for Homestead Lane and one of the courts. So it's an ongoing thing with administrations. We're smart, we're savvy. We know how to get the grant money that we need to keep the roads being repaired. So that's how that process works. But it's not a haphazard process. We just don't say, we don't spin a big wheel with all the roads in Roosevelt and say, we're going to do this one this year. It's all part of a plan. We have a layout. We know when the roads were done. Usually roads have about a 10-year life, and that's why there's 10 years on that bond. There's potholes on Homestead. Sure. I know right near Peggy's house there's a big collapsing section of the road. It needs to be done. So it does make sense, even if that is the driving force, money. Usually people who pay for things, they're the driving force, and they have control over, you know, what you're doing there. So we got road grant money. It makes sense to look at that since we're going to be doing that construction. Let's also look at the possibility for infrastructure repair there too. And that is the whole plan. That's what we're working on, incremental road work and infrastructure repair based on the grants that we can get, that we can piggyback onto over a period of years. So it's incremental. There's not a huge impact to that little limited water sewer utility fund. Don't forget that fund is very limited. It's paid in by all of us and nobody else, essentially, except for AT&T and a couple of the cell phone tower people. And so you can't just pull money out of it and do any road work or any utility work that you want. You really have to piggyback onto grants. And hopefully that helps you understand that there is a real process, and it's long term. It goes back well over a decade, and you can see it with the DOT grant applications that we've gotten. And we've done a great job, previous councils too, in getting that money. You can't do it without that money.
Can I just say also, Mr. Cragen, that I do believe it's a mischaracterization.
Which? Excuse me?
I do think it's a mischaracterization.
I can hear you, Becky.
I do think it's a mischaracterization to say that there's no plan, there's no design. As you can see by what Mike has said, by the chart that Carmela handed out, these roads and the designs and the grants have all been in the works for years and years and years. It's not willy-nilly. It's been a long-term plan well before this administration was in place and for many, many years. And I'd also like to ask you, though, if we don't do it, what do you think will happen? Do you want to wait until there's sinkholes all over or roads are caving in? As part of a town's infrastructure, you must upgrade, maintain, repair the infrastructure. We have streets. We can't just let them collapse. So we're given this grant money, which is a huge boost to us. As Mike said, we would never be able to do this on our own. And so, I mean, you don't buy a house and wait for the walls to fall in before you start maintaining the house. You have to maintain whatever it is that, you know, is if it's your house, your car, or a town.
Sure.
You must repair, replace, maintain whatever it is to keep everything in good condition.
Sure.
Since we've had soliloquies by a council member and the mayor, I'd like to point out... I'd like to point out that on August 1st, I called the regional director for Region 3 of the New Jersey Department of Transportation Grant Program. His name is Thomas Berryman. I'll give you his number, but he did answer the exact question that you asked, because I told him that our professionals had informed us that if we did not take this full $210,000 grant, that we would be harmed in future applications. It would be a negative in front of us. And he said, I said, I asked if we would be unlikely to be awarded grants in the future in the event that we determine to reduce the scope of the work or we decide that we don't have the money to do the roads for which we had received the grants. He unequivocally said no, it would not harm future applications, and we should explain why we did not use all of the money.
Yeah, there's no logical reason why it should prevent us from getting a grant in the future, either from this organization or another.
100% does.
Which?
It 100% does.
I Jeff Downman's out of order. He's not a member. It's not a legal issue.
He's acting as
a super council person.
No, but all I'm saying is it logically, it doesn't make sense that because we don't use their source of shared funds, that we would somehow be deprived from other shared funds.
The gentleman, I call the gentleman to order. He is not a member. This is not a legal issue. He is not a super council member.
Is it your position that the borough attorney is not allowed to speak at the council meetings?
Robert's Rules of Order states unequivocally that non-members of the body are not permitted to speak. You have not been asked a legal question. I would prefer you not to.
Okay. Please
I have no
sit
idea
down.
Why you
I've
show up.
I've never really been treated like this.
You're out of order.
You're free to leave.
Hundreds of these meetings. I've never been treated like this. I really haven't.
Greg, can you speak in the mic?
Well, I've been an attorney for 38 years. And
a lot of practicing.
That doesn't mean...
Well, you are practicing law, I think.
Maureen, you're being deliberately disruptive here.
The attorney is allowed to...
You're being deliberately
Please.
You're being deliberately disruptive.
You don't by have listening to you?
You're Let's being deliberately disrupted.
Grow up. All of you.
Thank you.
Come on.
Thank you, Bert.
Hey, gang, we're all on the same team. We're trying to save Roosevelt money and get the job done. Let's go forward.
Can I
speak a second?
Out of order.
Ms. Parrott explained to you why the gentleman
gave the
answer.
Can you speak in the microphone, Greg, so I can hear you?
Ms. Parrott explained to you why the gentleman gave the answer he did. She basically said in time of hardship or a reduction in scope of the project would that affect the grants. That's the question she just told you that she asked.
Only in time of hardship.
Right. She said you have to explain why you didn't use the money. Why do you have to explain why you didn't use the money? Because the DOT has a trust fund of X amount of dollars, and they allocate it every year. And if you suck up one of their allocations and you don't use it, it's not rocket science. They're not going to look at your application and give you priority the following year because you held up a bunch of their money that you didn't use. So she really gave you the answer in her question to the gentleman, which was, if you don't have the money, you want to reduce the scope, does it affect you?
Not
with a letter of explanation.
That's incorrect.
But if you take up their allocation and you don't use it, there's not a grant program in the state that doesn't penalize you for that. Yeah. And as a policy matter, I mean, think about it. That makes sense.
Excuse me. It is not your turn.
Because I've been doing this for 10 years and sitting through hundreds of councils.
Greg.
We should all go home and let the attorney make a decision.
Sit down.
We should all go home.
You are out of order. Mr. Cragen, please.
Okay. So, Greg, thank you for explaining that. There may be truth to that, but there may not be. So my next question as a participant here would be, can we get this gentleman from that trust fund or whatever it is to come here and talk to us? Can he come and make a presentation to the council? Let's get him on the spot here and ask him the questions. But that aside, and Mike's brilliant presentation and brilliant speaking, and Peggy's brilliant putting the case of why we need the roads. Of course we need roads. Of course we have to replace things incrementally over time. Everybody knows that. That's like saying the sun shines, the grass is green. My question is, why can't we look at other sources of funding and go to the federal government, go to the state government, go to private foundations, go to any source of funding that's out there and dig a little bit and not just be stuck into taking incremental.
We have this source of funding. We have it now, and we have roads that need
but
to be repaired.
But my question to you, as a fiscally responsible person with fiduciary responsibilities to the town, that's a fancy term.
That's exactly why we are pursuing this. It's
right.
Our fiduciary duty to obtain the best possible price or the lowest cost for doing this work. The work needs to be done. We have a grant.
Sure.
And the roads are in desperate need of repaving.
Okay.
And that's why.
I understand what you've said. I understand what you said.
We are being extremely.
Yeah. Peg, I understand what you said. What I don't understand is why I, as a taxpayer, like the same Mr. Roosevelt, should pay $300,000 to pave parts of a road that we don't need paved.
I don't know what parts of roads you think don't need paved, and when
the water pressure doesn't on the courts doesn't demand to have those roads paved.
Right.
Let's take a
Can
time
I
out.
Please stay
Maybe
here.
We lose the grant, but why not?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Me, what seems so obvious is why not take the $210,000 grant?
Oh, okay.
Why do we have to go
and spend it?
Do a
That's
bond.
A very good point.
If we
take the grant, are we obligated
understand.
To spend it?
So, Mike, if you could explain
now,
why the 300?
Hold on, I don't know who's got the floor
okay.
now.
Yeah, okay, wait. Mr. Craigan, do you have anything else? Did you have anything else on your list?
Well, yes, that, unfortunately, that's
just
the beginning here.
We need to get some order here.
Okay, I'm getting there, but I have other questions about the agenda here. What is our current monthly debt? How much is our debt service every month that we have to pay towards our I guess the interest on our debt, total bond debt right now?
We don't pay it monthly. Are you talking about water and sewer? Are you talking about general capital?
Separately and together.
Okay, well, that's not on the agenda, though, Mr. Fagan. You're really stretching it.
Peggy,
we have a lot of people
me.
Who want to speak.
I'm questioning a question as to is it in our interest to extend that debt further than it is if we don't even know what it is. So first thing we need to know is how much does it cost us every month to pay our interest? And then the next question is how much would this bond add to that, and is that something we really need to do as opposed to figuring out how to either get a grant or...
We have a grant.
To get a new grant that would allow us to look at what the long-term plan is going out 3, 5, 10, 20, 50 years.
Carmela showed you the long-term plan this afternoon. What has been done in the past, what we need going forward.
And what I'm saying is Carmela's plan was a very good plan, as I mentioned to you this afternoon. But that's from the dimension of Carmela. It's her idea.
She's our...
And she knows a lot. And I understand, and this is how it's done. But what I'm suggesting is that there's other ways of doing it. Putting things on the street for request for proposal, request for information are a better way.
Yeah.
Almost done. Going back to the agenda then for approval of bills.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk about that? Okay. $1,000 to Allen's Tree Service. Who approved that?
Me.
And it was approved?
Fire.
Okay. And what was that bid or was that compared? Because I know Allen's over years has had a lot of free rein in terms of doing whatever they want and charging us whatever they want. That's
well,
my
again,
feeling.
Again, I don't really think that's
what
it was. It was approved. There's no problem. Okay.
Well, what do you mean by that they've had free rein?
Pardon me?
What do you mean by that they can charge whatever they want?
I can't hear you.
You said that they can charge whatever they want and they have free rein.
I was told by a former member of the council who I think was Public Works at the time. I asked him how were Allen's bills figured out, and he told me, oh, they send me a bill and I pay it. I said, well, don't you ask them what they did or how many hours they worked? And he said, no.
That's not the way I understand it.
Pardon me?
That's not the way that I understand
it. I'm saying to you, I'm quoting what was
I know.
Well, that's a previous council. It's not how this council works.
Okay, let's move on. Garden State Laboratories, 1850. In the bid for the new water sewer people, they had the fact that their laboratories were going to be in-house and do them themselves. Why are we still paying an outside laboratory to do testing?
When was that built? When was the service done?
The new guys
have only been here.
Maybe it's previous. It says 7:30.
Yeah, maybe it's, yes, Bob. Maybe it's previous.
Could you check into that and let us know?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Next idea, municipal maintenance. Effluent outfall baffle, $6,000.
$5,990.
I stand corrected.
It fell apart when they took it out. It's been in there since 1936 when they put
the. We got good value out of it. The question, though, Joe, is this something that was bid multiple sources or was it one shot?
Bid to three sources and came through.
Cool. Can I see the three sources when you have time?
Mr. Cragen?
Yes, Karen.
Okay, I will.
Mr. Cragen, that bill is from June, and our new...
Pardon me?
The bill is from June, and our new operators did not start until July.
Let's move on. Okay, I'm good. Passaic Valley Sewerage, $658. My question here goes back to Joe. Has that long-term obligation for a regular payment from the water sewer bill ever been bid?
It went out for bids. They came in with the best bid.
That's what I wanted to know.
It's a yearly contract.
Thanks, Peggy. Thank you.
I believe on the bullet says contract.
Thank you all for your time. I hope I'm asking good questions that will help us all save money. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to come to the mic?
Naomi.
Oh.
Naomi Barnes, 22 Farm Lane. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to come earlier today. I'm wondering where Farm Lane fits into the when it was previously paved and if it's going to be paved soon.
I don't have an answer for that. I can check with our engineer and our and Anna Debevic, who can possibly Kathleen, who research when it was paved last.
It's not on the list.
No, it's not on the list, but I don't know
so
when.
It had to be before then if it was.
I can find out for sure when it was paved last.
Okay. I guess it was mentioned that we choose the roads according to the likelihood that the grant will be approved. There's a big section of Farm Lane. I took a picture that's actually crumbling. It's down towards the solar complex.
Solar Village.
Yes. And I've been on Farm Lane 10 years and it hasn't been paved. So I just wanted to bring it to your attention that sometimes roads are left till the point where just milling and paving isn't good enough. It has, because it's been left so long that now you're going to have a worse problem because it's not the usual job.
I know that section of road, and it is deteriorating fairly rapidly, and I think the engineer should look at that.
Yeah, I was just going to say we can send Carmela Roberts to look at it.
Yeah,
we need people to tell us. Sometimes we do miss things like that. So, you know, it's good when the residents come and inform us what is happening on their street. So we can certainly ask her to look at it.
Okay, thank you.
Mark Connors, 23 North Rochdale. And I apologize if I'm misreading this, but it says in June we used $1,000 worth of electricity. And in July we used $3,000 of electricity. I'm a little confused how this little building tripled in the amount of use in.
Probably air conditioning, I would think.
I
June was a pretty chilly month, and July was a very hot month.
I
just my guess.
I think we need to look at some things. I mean, something seems like it's wrong with that. That's a big jump. That's not a little jump. It's a gigantic jump. Everybody keeps talking about these plans, and I'm sorry I couldn't make the meeting this afternoon, but some of us have to work. And a 3 o'clock in the afternoon meeting for a really important meeting like that is probably not the best thing in the interest of all the residents. I know that everybody's got a reason you have to have a 3 o'clock meeting. However, 3 o'clock
meeting was actually almost no different than this meeting. It was just sort of...
I don't see...
Well,
and you reference the engineer every time you're answering somebody.
Well,
she's not here.
I'm the one that called the meeting, and I apologize because it was the only time Carmela was available. She was not available for this meeting, and I really thought that as many people as possible should hear her explanations before we moved on to a vote tonight.
And I would love to hear her explanation, but unfortunately I had to be at my work.
But you will be able to hear it on our website within how long?
Send it up tonight.
Yeah. And when are you voting on this? Tonight.
I'm not sure.
And she's going to put the tape this afternoon on later tonight.
I'm not sure that it'll be voted on.
But
well,
if it does, it's a possibility.
Meeting too. Did you?
Yeah, I did listen. I did listen to the meeting tape, but I don't know what this afternoon's tape was about. So,
same.
It's things that need to be thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody keeps talking about this plan, and I'd like to see this plan. How are you making the determinations of what roads, what sewer pipes, what water pipes are being addressed? I keep hearing about the plan,
Well,
that should be a piece of paper.
That's our engineer's job. That's exactly
okay, right. But she should be supplying you so you can make decisions with good logical information.
She does. She does. She keeps us informed of which grant she's applying
for. So what did she tell you about Farm Road?
We haven't discussed Farm Road with her.
But this young lady just said the road's deteriorating to the point where it has to now be dug up. And it goes to a federal post office, which would probably fit into that grant process really well. And that's what I'm saying. There's a plan, but when somebody tells you about the little part, I want to see the plan.
Big plan.
All the parts together. That's how you make a plan. You don't make it, oh, well, we know Homestead will fit into it, so we're going to use that. But we don't look at Farm Lane because we didn't know it was bad.
I didn't know it was bad. Our engineer may know
this,
that.
This town is so small, you can take a walk in a couple hours, and you'll know about every street in the town. And maybe that's what you knew. Maybe you need to take a group walk and pick out the streets. But it has to be a plan, not a – well, Carmel Roberts says that this section is in need now, and it might be. I'm not saying it's not. But is it the worst street in town? I don't know. No. And apparently she's didn't make that statement. She just said that this will fit in the grant pile. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure other parts of the town would too. So we need to –
well, Homestead Lane was only half done 6 years ago.
Okay.
So it makes sense to do the other half once you have some grant money. And then she was able to factor in the courts.
I hear what you're saying. But I'm not hearing an answer back telling me that anybody knows the whole picture. Maybe she needs to do that. Maybe that's what she needs to do is come up with a nice little map saying, all right.
We have a map. We'd be glad to go over that with you. It has all the road work that was done. Areas highlighted that we think need to be done in the near future and possible infrastructure improvements that need to be done under those roads. I thought we had that. No, some time ago I think we did distribute that map. I distributed it
to the council, the last council meeting.
Yeah, in fact, I think it would be a good idea to have an open public hearing on that.
Yeah, and
to look at that.
I would honestly like to see meetings that are going to be informative.
Yeah.
Like this afternoon. And I know that maybe it's inconvenience for the engineer, but we pay her to be here.
Yeah.
Is what it boils down to.
Yeah. Good idea.
So maybe she couldn't be here today, but maybe she could have been here last night.
Well, she was here this afternoon.
Or this afternoon, yes, but she couldn't be here now. And this is when people are here now.
I tried to have a meeting with her last week. She was on vacation. We got this letter in the Friday before she went on vacation. So, yes, today at 3 was the first time she was available. I'm sorry.
It's really important. And this map, it was distributed to the council members?
I had the map in my possession. I made copies and passed it out the last council meeting. And it refers to actually these streets here, and it shows when they were paved. So this letter here from Carmella today is the same as the maps.
I think we need to see a form of... Here are the streets, because there's not many of them in this town. It's not like this town is Middletown or Millstone or something. It's got miles and miles and miles of road. This road was paved on 2012. This road was paved in 1808.
That was the nature of the map. It had the stretches that were
paved. And then maybe we need to look at that, not just, it makes sense because half of it was done.
She is our engineer, and she has determined that is the best way to secure grants and secure money for the town. This is the best way to have the government award us a grant. She knows. There seems to be this idea floating around.
I will stop you for a second because I have the floor. Okay. Because I've been involved with grants, federal grants. Okay?
Have you been involved with municipal road grants?
They're all the same type of grants.
No,
when you're filing a government grant, it's the same type of procedures. Anytime you can tag it onto a federal building being access to it, bumps it up to the top. And I don't care if people want to shake their head and say no. They look at that. They look at those factors because you're saying, they look at the fact that he did this half of the road. Well, you don't think they don't look at what federal buildings are attached to it?
Yeah.
You're wrong. And I will say that personally. I think you're wrong.
Yeah, they look at county highway access. And
county highway access.
All those
you have one federal building in town.
Sure.
You know, they're looking at that.
Sure. And we can use that to get paving on grants for farm road.
You know, but it doesn't really sound like there's, and maybe in Carmelo's mind there is, but I think it'd be easier for everybody to understand and swallow if we understood what that was. It should be something that can be put on a piece of paper. It's black and white. This is what we need to do. This is our plan tag. We know that over the next 10 years, we're going to be doing this. That's why I get upset. Oh, we got to do this right now.
It's not right now. It's been in the works for quite some time.
I know that, but it's because nobody ever says, what's the whole thing? That's the thing I'm looking for, is the whole picture. Not the snapshot, but the whole picture together. It makes it much easier for people like me, anyhow, to understand.
You are welcome to speak to our engineer, because there, as I said, there seems to be this idea that everything is scattered and willy-nilly and of immediate nature. That's simply not true. She absolutely has a plan and a design for all the streets in town.
Then let's share it.
Pardon me?
Let's share it with the town.
That's fine.
That's what we need to do. If you want to pass bonds, you want to pass everything, give people information, and they'll be much happier to do things. But if it's, well, we're not going to share this part with you, and we got this partner.
No one's keeping anything from anyone. Mm-hmm. No one's not sharing anything.
I have to say that the meeting this afternoon was so that we could share as much information as we could. And again, I'm sorry it was at 3 o'clock and not tonight, but that's when it was available. So.
Okay, there are other people.
Okay.
Hi.
What's up, guys?
I don't know.
Who
called? Police are here.
Listen, here's the deal, okay?
Yeah.
We got a call, I guess. I don't know if people are unruly or what. I don't know what the issues are tonight being discussed. Okay? But whatever's going on, let's keep it civil. All right?
It's been a lot worse than this.
You walked into the
It's been a lot worse than this, yes.
Well, let's keep it civil, okay? I understand everybody's got their own opinion. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. All right. There's no reason that we can't just, you know, discuss it like adults, and that we'd have to come back. All right. But
okay.
It's pretty silly that we got three people up here for a meeting.
Yeah, really.
Okay. So let's keep it civil, so we don't have to come back. Everybody understand? All right.
I'm good.
Right. Thank you.
Did you call Mark?
No, and if what I'm doing warrants three troopers have been here,
I know.
There's a big problem.
There's a big problem.
Because all I'm doing is asking questions. And they can't ask questions. That's called dictatorship. And I don't think we had that.
Okay. Now, the farm lane situation, I can remember that it was fine until, I guess, after the spring, snow plowing and stuff. It's been worse before then?
That's not the impression I'm getting.
Okay, well, we're not. Could we just.
So, what I would like to see.
Well, here's something that we have right here that we can tell you about.
So, well, part of tonight's agenda is the 2019 application process. So, to the lady's question about Farm Lane, you can actually go on and you can read what criteria they do. I don't know if you have this posted on the website, but it was received on July 31st. It's the July 24th letter from the DOT. It describes each grant program: the municipal aid program, $151 million; transit village program, $1 million; bikeways, safe streets to transit. It tells you exactly the stuff that they're targeting this year for the criteria that they're going to use. And then there's websites where you can go to the actual state, the grant guidelines that show you what they look at to go to your question.
Okay, I understand that. But that doesn't answer my question. I understand the requirement to getting grants is not the requirement of what your needs are. What I'm saying is these are the few streets we got in this town. Not a lot of them. It's a little town.
Right.
Okay?
What I'm telling you is your point is salient, because now is the time to decide what you're going to do for next year.
Yeah. We should have been looking at this and saying...
There's no discussion in the audience right now. Mr. Connors has the floor.
So
please.
I would like to see us... as a town, move forward and stop these silly things. We're at a point where you got to be three troopers here. I think that's really ridiculous. I don't know why they're called who call them. Apparently, you don't know what a violent or rowdy meeting is, because whatever happened in this meeting didn't warrant a trooper showing up. I don't know who made that decision, but I think they were wrong. There was no violence from anybody. Nobody was threatening anybody. Nobody was throwing stuff. So,
Mr. Connor. This might help you. When I spoke with Mr. Berryman, he said that a municipality should always apply for the NJDOT grant for the roads in the worst condition, and he suggested that we could have the council and a group of volunteers survey all roads to determine which are the worst.
Well, I hear that, and I understand it, but I think this town is so small that if we can't trust the council to walk around the town and look at the roads and decide, gee, this road's worse shape than that road, shut the lights, turn the key over to somebody, and say we're done. Because 9 people is a good percentage of this town. It's not like 9 people of Millstone. So I honestly believe that we as residents should have enough faith in you people that Mike and Joe decide they want to go for a walk, and they walk on that side, and these two gentlemen decide they want to walk on this side, and then they come back together and say, hey, look, I got this, you got that. I don't see this as a major 3-year project. I see this as a one-day walk around and make notes, or an hour here and an hour there.
I would just like to say that perhaps we were not aware what bad condition Farm Lane was in, but that doesn't mean that everyone on this council is unaware. We keep tabs on everything in town. This is an extremely comprehensive job that we have to do here. There's a lot involved. I think even Steve mentioned that until he came on to the council, he took his trash out on Tuesday night and brought it in Wednesday morning and didn't know that there was like nearly this much involved. We all work very, very hard. So for you to cavalierly
I never said
say,
you
well,
didn't work hard.
Well, just take a walk and look. There's much to be done on a daily basis, and we try very hard to make sure that it is.
Maureen, you're running a business. That's what you're doing. By being the council, you're running a business. That's what you're doing. You're running a business. This town is a business.
In some respects, yeah.
No, it is. Not in some respects. This is a business. This business can go bankrupt. This business has certain responsibilities, and one of the major responsibilities of the town is the road and water and sewer.
That's what we're
that
discussing
is a gigantic
today.
Part of the responsibility of this business, is making sure people got water to drink.
Mr. Cragen,
when they flush, it goes
Mr.
away.
Mr. Cragen.
And the roads are fixed.
Mr. Cragen.
All I'm asking is that we don't make this into a bigger ordeal than it needs to be, and we keep it very simple. Go look at it. Come up with a plan so that people can understand that we know this road needs to be done. This one's worse, so we're going to try to prioritize it, and we understand things will change because we're going to have water main breaks. It's hard to believe. And we're going to be digging up roads.
Can I say something about the map that I'm looking at here now? Looks like over half the roads have been repaved in this town since 2005, so apparently there's some kind of a plan.
There is. I don't know how many times we can say it.
Let me just say also, Farm Lane, I'm sorry to say, has not been touched at all. So I'm sorry, but, you know, so that apparently should go on the list next for 2019. So, but all of the other ones, just about 70%, it looks like, have been done. So I think...
Maureen, instead of...
I'm not Maureen.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't mean to say that. I'm just getting aggravated. Instead of thinking I'm attacking you, because I'm not, I'm just saying if you want people to support you, put it out there. We're doing this. I didn't know this map ever existed. Nobody in this room knew. I found it somewhere.
Well, you know what? If people
saw this with these numbers on air and when you went and did them, it would probably be easier for people to understand why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah. We do try to put it out there. That's why Joe held the meeting this afternoon. We try as hard as we can to put it all out there.
I'm sorry it was late.
Joe, I'm not upset with you. That's not what I'm saying.
Mr. Connors, we need to move this along. Is there anything else?
You're the one that keeps talking. When it's my time to talk, you kept talking.
You've made quite a few points.
Yes, I did, because as a resident, I'm allowed to.
Yes, you are. Jeb.
Jeb, and I do notice that Tamara Drive, where you live, has not been repaved, so...
Well, it isn't... Well, there are weeds growing on the cracks.
Okay.
However, I had it in my mind in these last couple of weeks about why Farm Lane wasn't targeted for repaving, because it clearly is the worst area in town. But I don't think that means that people didn't know it was the worst. I think my guess is that the engineer was looking at all our problems, and they are the water, the sewer, and the paving, and trying to organize it in an efficient way. And one of the theories, well, it turned out there were a lot of ways to think about what to do, but one way to think about what to do was that since the water mains on Eleanor Lane are relatively new compared to the rest of the town.
Not Eleanor.
There's no water on
Eleanor. Oh, there isn't any?
No.
Homestead.
No water line.
Because they have wells?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then this doesn't make sense at all. Because I was thinking that she was...
Go for a different...
Well, I thought that she was going... That the idea was to connect brand new to relatively new. But if that isn't the case, then...
Well, I do think it had to do with the fact that Homestead was partially paved.
I know, but...
And then...
Yeah, but...
And now the rest of it is caving in.
Yeah, but also
I understand...
The
just a second. It's my turn. I think it's nowhere nearly caving in as bad as Farm Lane. Farm Lane is really in bad shape. So if we have a choice, I think that should perhaps be reconsidered. But I personally am all in favor of adopting these ordinances and getting things started. And I know that there was a principle upon which a lot of you ran, that any major capital expenditure should come to the public for a vote at the next public election. But this grant, the DOT grant, has a deadline. So it seems to me that it would be great to adhere to that principle as much as possible, but do the first piece and do more. You say there's planning. There are a lot of plans, but kind of tie it together and publicize it more, including water, sewer, and roads, and in time so that future big expenditures can be put on a referendum. Not a referendum, on the next general ballot. I've attended a lot of meetings, and I know that you're all working very hard. Your volunteers, I'm very impressed with the work you're doing, and I think this should be approved and put ahead and try harder to straighten out some of these details as time goes along. And, you know, I think you deserve to be, I think we're lucky to have you on the council, and I hope you continue and that this train of thought of unifying the plans and making them better known to the public and up for public comment in the future needs to be done, but I'm sure it will be done.
Thank you, Jim. Is there anyone else who hasn't spoken?
Ariel Tuck, 22 Homestead Lane. I'm sorry, Joe, this is not a plan. This is a marked up set of streets which primarily shows what we paved in the past. It's not a plan for the future. What we're talking about here is the future. The future seems to be Carmela's plan, as I understand it, and I've listened and I've read and I've spoken to Carmela on the phone a number of times. Carmela's plan is that the borough of Roosevelt should replace all its underground water piping. Not the sewer, but the water piping. All of it. The cost of this project has gone through three or four iterations. It started out as $15 million. It dropped down to $12 million. Then it dropped to $11 million. And now somehow the number floating around is $10 million. So we don't know how much it's going to cost.
Well,
we don't know. Wait a minute.
I'm talking.
We don't even know the sequence in which the piping will be put down. We know that Carmelis wants to start on Homestead Lane. Why? I don't know. Because we don't have any information on why she's starting on Homestead Lane.
We do know why, because she said as long as we're excavating, then it makes sense.
We're not excavating for repaving the road. We are excavating to change the pipe. Get that through your head. That's why we're excavating, is to put down new pipe. Otherwise, the road doesn't need the excavation. All right? That's a fact.
Well, that's your opinion.
No, it's a fact. If you think you can pave the road, you can put down pipe without excavating on the road, you got to think again.
No, I'm talking about, I think that she wants to excavate to repave the road properly.
She doesn't know. They don't excavate to repave the road properly.
I think excavation is to dig down to put the pipes in, and repaving is above, you know, the surface.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a definition thing.
So everything that Carmela has talked about in terms of planning is replacing everything. There is no plan as to how this will be sequenced. All we know is that the first sequence is going to cost something like $750,000. Now, that's how much on the 10-year plan? $75,000.
That's pipage, I believe.
And we're also eligible for principal forgiveness of 50% of that.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
No guarantee.
Right. Okay, we're sure, but there's no guarantee. Thank you.
The smaller towns have priority on it.
Okay. Whatever it is, we're not going to be able to do it, this whole project, in a year. We're not going to be able to do this whole project in 2 years because we won't be able to refinance the bonds. We can't. When do we hit our bonding limit? You told me last time.
About $10 million. We would never do a $10 million bond.
I know that.
It exceeds our capacity.
Yes. What is our capacity now?
Well, today it'd be about, depending what happens with tonight with the bond ordinances, they would skip that. If the current water sewer one wasn't on there, it'd be about over $2 million.
It'll go with $2 million.
Right now, because we're not self-limited.
Yeah. Okay. So if this bond authorization passes, we'll have $2 million left of bond capacity. Is that what you're telling me?
1.4 then.
1.4 million left of bonding capacity. Yeah. Okay. We'll eat that up in no time at all, of course. So we are talking about a long-term program that's going to eat up an awful lot of our bond capacity money. In the interim period, when we go through the bond issue thing again, we really get plans. This is not a plan. We really get plans for what's going to happen. Pipes are going to break. Now, if we had done any kind of investigation in the past few years of the pipes, we would have had a good idea where the pipes are going to break. And we would have fixed them. And we would have lots of pipes in town that don't need fixing because they're not in areas that have a high acid content in the soil, to make it simple. There are lots of areas in town where we have hardly any demand for water, very little demand for water. We should have a plan that says we're going to fix things up. We're going to look and find out where our problems are. Our problems are not the whole community. The business, we got, I'm going to deviate a little bit. We once had a program in this country called Urban Renewal. Remember Urban Renewal? Urban Renewal was, let's take down the things that are bad, let's replace them with something good, and life will be wonderful. What happened? We took down everything that had the slightest problem. Of course, it was also known as black removal, but that's another issue. We took down everything in sight. Half of it didn't get rehabilitated, and part of it that got rehabilitated, everybody hated. But at least they tried. Here, we're just getting ready to spend money. We don't even know what the hell we're spending on, where it's going to go. This is a plan. This isn't a plan. This isn't even close to a plan. I know what a plan is. I've been doing it for 50 years.
Bert, can you please
Yeah. I want to move on to other things. You have on your agenda tonight is you're going to change the meeting schedules. You are going to have
it. Did not say we are going to change. It's on the agenda to. It hasn't been voted on. It hasn't been discussed.
It's on the agenda.
Well, that means.
It's on the agenda. We're talking about things on the agenda.
It doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Hmm?
It doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's just going to change.
But it's
going to
be on the agenda, right? We're allowed to talk about anything on the agenda.
Yes, but you said we are going to change.
You would like to change the agenda. How about that? Is that better?
No, because it was put on the agenda by certain people. It doesn't necessarily mean that everyone's in favor of it, or that
I didn't say anyone's in favor of it.
Well, I can't say that we're going to change it. It's on the agenda to discuss.
I'd like to discuss it a little.
Okay.
I have some questions. Is this going to be an agenda? Is this agenda? So-called agenda meetings are going to have an agenda?
I don't know. I didn't put it on the agenda.
Well, somebody did.
Yes.
You're prepared to discuss it tonight. I assume you've got it on the agenda.
Right, but I can't answer for that.
Well, don't. Maybe somebody else can. Maybe the person who submitted
I don't see anywhere where there's an agenda listed as part of this resolution. That's your answer.
Okay.
It just says have an agenda.
If you will allow me.
It was offered by three people, me, Councilwoman Sheehan, and Councilman Bowen.
Okay. It said in the description that the meeting to prepare an agenda for the action meeting we have the same agenda for the process of the meeting as there is for the council meetings. That's what it says. So my question will there be an agenda for the agenda meeting? Will the public be invited to this have a public session at this agenda meeting?
Of course, law requires a public session at every council meeting, and it would be a regular council meeting. Our ordinance does have a sequence of events for all meetings, but we don't have, as I mentioned in the beginning of this meeting, there was no agenda for this meeting until evidently, I have no idea who prepared it, who prepared the agenda. Because this council doesn't prepare any of the agendas. It's just plopped on the table.
This council doesn't prepare agendas?
No.
I'm stunned. I'm absolutely stunned.
So it would be the same way we do it now.
Anyway, go back to where I started.
It's very late, and
I know it's very late, Peggy. I know it's very late, Peggy.
I gave you a second chance at the mic.
You don't have. You are not authorized to give me chances.
Yes, she is.
Where does it say so?
I'll read it to you. You keep going.
Yeah,
I'll read
that.
It to you. Sure.
We told him he could continue talking.
We
told him he could continue talking.
Yeah, you can
talking.
Keep going.
Well, while you guys are looking on a question, were there ever agenda meetings and action meetings in Roosevelt in the past?
Yes.
Yes.
Joe, can we save that for later when we get to that resolution?
I'm just asking. That way we don't have to do this.
Yes.
It's Borough Code Section 2-1.12. In part says, the presiding officer shall have the authority to impose a reasonable limit upon the amount of time which each member of the public may make his statement. to limit the number of times that any person may be allowed to speak, and to prevent abuse of the public comment period for the purposes of delay or disruption.
Okay. So I'm through?
Well, I ask you to please wrap it up.
Okay. I'm going to wrap it up. As I said earlier in the day, I think it's a big mistake to go through this. We're going to add to our budget $170,000, 10% over 10 years. Or if even it's half that, it'll be $80,000.
We're talking $350,000 over 30 years.
We're talking
I'm talking about the water bond.
The water bond is going to average $28,000 a year, assuming we fund that financing over 30 years.
Oh,
we still have the option.
So it's the bond term is 30 years, not 10 years.
On the water.
In the ordinance is 40, according to the bond law. No one is buying 40-year paper.
Okay.
EIT has a 30-year program. They have a 20-year program. They have a 15-year program.
Okay.
That hasn't been determined yet.
We have a 10-year program for the road, a 30-year term for the water.
Correct. Oh, they have different lives, Bert.
Yeah, okay.
Pipes underground don't last 5 years. They usually last
longer. Yeah, I know.
Maybe even longer.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, Bert.
Yes.
It's time?
Have a good evening. I'll be back.
Okay, one last chance for comment on the agenda items. No, I'm sorry, Mr. Craig. It's much too late. It's really late. I did, that's true. But at this point, we have many more items to discuss, and it's 8:15. Save it for the next.
I don't have to speak, but could you read Charlene Ellsworth's letter?
When we come to correspondence, we are not at that point yet.
But you will read it later. Right?
It's on correspondence.
Thank you.
Okay, we close the public portion on the agenda at 8:17. Come to approval of minutes from the July 23rd, 2018 regular council meeting minutes.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the July 23rd regular council minutes.
On a second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Been blanking out myself. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
All right, we come to correspondence. We have four letters from this meeting. We have a letter received from the NJDEP dated July 2nd, 2018, regarding Roosevelt Borough in compliance with stormwater. NJPDES permit. And then we have a letter from New Jersey Department of Transportation dated July 24th, 2018 regarding the NJDOT fiscal year 2019 state aid program. We have a letter received from the borough engineer, Carmela Roberts, dated August 3rd, 2018 regarding water main improvements. And we have a letter dated August 8th, 2018 from Charlene Ellentuck regarding bonds. All these letters are available. Are they in the packets?
They're in the packets. The one from Charlene was, I did not receive that till today at 3 o'clock, so it's not on the website.
So it's available to be picked up. Yeah, it can be.
In your packet.
Oh, it is in the packet?
It's in the packet.
Okay.
If I could add, I gave to the clerk this afternoon because I didn't realize that she didn't have it. The August 10th, 2018 email from Emma Quackenbush that stated it was two sentences.
Well, we are not reading any of the correspondence tonight. It's available for anyone who wants to read
this
it.
This one's not available.
Well, maybe Lori. Is Lori here?
Well, I made copies for everybody here, but the public didn't see
it. Let's see if we can make some copies to hand out. Mary here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can we ask Lori to make a copy?
It's just two sentences.
Okay. That's okay. We're not reading any of the correspondence to them. Okay, we come to ordinances. Bond ordinance 18-05, second reading. This is a bond ordinance providing for road improvements to Homestead Lane and Cedar Court, appropriating $520,000, therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $310,000 bonds and notes to finance a portion of the cost thereof, authorized in and by the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Monmouth, New Jersey. This bond ordinance is providing for various road improvements to Homestead Lane and Cedar Court. So we're going to open the public hearing at 8:20. Now, would anyone like to come to the mic to discuss the bond ordinance for 18-05, which is road improvements for Homestead Lane and Cedar Court? Carol? Carol, could you come to the mic?
Oh, I can see.
No, you
didn't. Real quick question. Homestead Lane, on this thing, it says it was done in 2017. Is this thing wrong?
Half of it.
It says 2017.
No, but it wasn't 17.
Half, the other half, 2017.
No, the other half was never done.
No, that's the grant.
That's the grant.
No, it says that's the date of the grant. Oh.
Right here it says 2017 on Homestead Lane, the other half.
That a grant was received for. Wasn't
but it was never done.
Yeah. No.
Well, it hasn't been this grant. That's the grant we're talking about.
Yeah.
Even though it says 2018 now?
Yeah. 2 years. You have 2 years from the time it's awarded to award a contract for the project.
Okay.
You'll see also Nerco Road has 2018 on it. That was awarded this year, but whenever it gets done, it'll get done. Okay.
So this was awarded in 2017. We have the money for this already?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it came in the end of August, August 31st, like, possibly.
I earmarked that for us. Once we comply with all the directives, we're contracting to get a portion of it. And once we complete it, we get the rest. Not cash on hand. For us, cash on hand in state, but not here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Question, because I'm trying to figure out the process. Okay? I understand things better when I understand people explain it. You approve this tonight. Where are we at? What are we doing? Can it be repositioned to other streets if they're worse? Is it locked into the roads that are listed on here? What's the process from what you do tonight? Whether you pass it or don't pass it, or I don't even know if you're voting on it, this thing, to be honest with you. Where are we at? How's the wheel turn? Is my question.
Do you want to answer that, CFO?
Well, Greg will answer. Or either one. Yeah, go right ahead. No, you guys. Okay.
The grant was awarded for that project, so Carmel will prepare the specs and everything, and we'll go out to bid. Bids will be received, and then council will award or award maybe alternate bids, so, you know, depending how it's bid. But that money is earmarked for that project. We received.
It has to be used for these particular streets.
Right. Yeah. Because that was the priority at that time.
Right. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Use it for what you were approved for, and you can only authorize it at this level for what this ordinance says.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, is what flexibility you have, don't have.
No, it's not a lot of flexibility.
Okay. And there's nothing, while I understand that it makes sense to do things in a systematic order, and if you have to dig for pipes, do it while the blacktop's being torn up. But I don't know if this blacktop's being torn up or it's just being repaved over.
Torn up.
When you're replacing things, we need to make sure we need to replace them, and they don't have another 20-year lifetime span or a different way to do it. Mm-hmm. I can run plastic pipe for quite a long distance underground from a hole over here and not touch blacktop. So I just want to make sure we're what flexibility we're doing with.
We just
you're talking about two different bonds, and I know you're talking about the roads right now, but yeah, they both intertwine so much. I have no way to say this other than to say that. If you're approving one.
Well, actually, they don't. They're two separate bonds.
Well, yeah, but they're intertwined in fact that the theory is, maybe I'm wrong, is that the reason that you want to do the water and sewer pipes there are because you're taking the road up.
But the road can be repaved without doing the water sewer pipes.
Oh, I understand that. But that's what I'm saying is that there's.
If I can jump in just for a second. Part of this afternoon was exploring Carmella with other alternatives like trenchless and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of alternatives, CIPP, the cured in place piping, liners, and also the, what do you call it, Steve? The
pipe bursting.
Mm-hmm. So those are being looked into more or less as we speak. And they were, there was quite a discussion on all
so
of those this afternoon.
You pass these two ordinances, or I guess the road thing is pretty much locked where it's locked. But the water thing, I guess, has more flexibility to it because it's not. It has to be that area.
Funded by the EIT, whatever the application says.
Yep.
That's all you can use it for. And if you put a shovel in the ground without their permission, you lose.
But what I'm saying is, because there are alternatives, you dig a large trench, laying pipe, and filling it back in. If they go to a cheaper alternative,
that's got to be worked out.
Yep. That's
any idea to approve that.
That's why we had the meeting today, was to understand mm-hmm. that there are alternatives.
Yeah, but I was trying to find out where I've, and you probably
like
talked about this.
Would you like to see this? This is
the history. This might help you understand
well, that,
like the timeline.
That goes along with the map about what has been done.
So those are all the grants that they've applied for since 2005.
And by the way, my eyesight's not as good as yours. You can make bigger maps.
And as I said, there are two different bond ordinances on the agenda tonight. One is strictly for the roads, and the other is for the water sewer.
And so from that notification date on the third column?
Yeah, 2 years.
Like 2 years.
Right. No, absolutely. I understand that. We've already wasted.
And that's the timeline.
A year.
Well, no, we didn't waste a year.
Well.
First of all, when did it come in? Didn't it come in the end of, I think the end of August?
August 31st.
All right. So, but we didn't have a council then.
August 31st.
We did not have a council then. We did not have an official council that could even act on anything then.
For a short period of time.
Well, till September 25th, and then there was an interim council.
Who could act on things?
There was much to do last August when there was a huge change.
It's been a busy year.
I'm not arguing the fact that you guys are doing a lot of work. I get that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people doing a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And as everyone says, you're volunteering. That means you volunteered to be here. You knew what the job was. I appreciate it, and I thank you for doing it. But you volunteer to do it.
Anyone else? Mr. Cragen, you have to keep it short. You have to keep it short.
A couple questions. If we take the grant money, are we obligated to spend our 310K raised in the bond issue, or is it okay to just let the grant money be spent and let the bond money sit without actually incurring interest expense and eventually just return it without any expense for having borrowed that money?
I missed that part.
Yeah. We have a grant.
It's talking about the time value of money, spending the grant money before you spend your own cash. But I think it's a reimbursed grant, isn't it?
Right. When you award the contract, when you award the bid, you're allowed to draw down up to 75% of the grant at that time.
Are we required at the point we have 25% of the grant money in our hand? Are we required to spend beyond the grant money from our own money from the bond to match that grant money to get the job done? Or can we just spend the grant money 75%?
The grant money doesn't cover everything anyway.
Well, I'm not asking you to. I'm saying that.
I'm saying there's additional costs that have to be. Good. There's additional costs that the borough would have to pay in order to get the grant.
Of course. On bond costs, et cetera.
Well, no. For example, the design phase
is
not funded by DOT.
Right.
Construction administration phase for the engineer is.
Right.
Okay, so, yeah, there is some out-of-pocket by the town, and look, however you look at it, we do have some, some sweat in the game here.
I guess I'm asking the council, then, to make the decision as to the cost-benefit of obligating us to spend $310K out of our own pocket in order to get this work done. Do we really need that? Question for the council. Next question. in section 3 of the bond ordinance, it says, all as shown in accordance with contracts, plans, specifications, and requisitions, therefore on file with or through the borough clerk, as finally approved by the governing body of the borough. Are these plans, specifications, etc., on file currently, or are they not? If they're not on file, then how can you pass this bond ordinance in good faith and not have somebody possibly come back at you later and say, well, where are the plans? You didn't have the plans when you passed it.
The design phase is extremely expensive.
Right.
Okay, so we need to get there to decide it.
I'm agreeing. I'm questioning the...
This is standard language that goes in bond ordinances, which I believe our bond counsel, who is, I've been quite qualified in putting that wording in there. Okay? But, yeah, I mean, the next step would be, once we have a legal authorization, then we have to authorize the engineer to proceed
to the work,
with the design.
And then you have the plans retroactive.
And we're restricted. Again, the title of the ordinance, all the grant applications, we're restricted in what roads.
Understood.
So it's not like it's going to be spent on something else.
What I'm saying is that everything in terms of the sequence of events is very clear and very sensible. But what is not sensible or clear is the bond language. You can't say that we're doing this in accordance with this, even if everybody else does this.
That's standard bond language, and that's how every town does it.
They may all be wrong.
No, they're not wrong.
Not accurate. Not every town. I checked with towns. It's not accurate. Many towns, that language is true. They do have plans.
The assumption may not be true.
We don't
that's
plans.
Not accurate.
You may have a liability.
Please let George Lang finish his...
Please.
In any event, it's not fatal to the bond ordinance. It's not required by 40A.
No.
I mean, the applicable statute is 40A:2. This came up last meeting, so I looked it up. And I consulted with bond counsel for the last 2 weeks on this issue. NJSA 40A:12A:1 requires that a bond ordinance contain in substance a statement, quote, in brief and general terms sufficient for reasonable identification, the purpose or purposes for which the obligations are to be issued. So the language that most bond counsel uses that's in there essentially refers to the concept plans or the engineer's letters and scoping and authorizations to actually do the work. So if you send an open request to the clerk, for example, you'll get back everything to date that the borough engineer's done. And then once the money comes through the bond and it's authorized, then there'll be blueprints and plans, and eventually the file grows in the clerk's office. And that paragraph 3, that which you're referring to, essentially directs the public, anyone who looks at it from now until the end of time, to say, what did that council in 2018 spend money on in Roosevelt? They should be able to go to the clerk's office, according to the GRC regulations, the Government Records Council, and then pull whatever file is in the office at that time.
Retroactively, it's okay. Going forward, it's not. That's what I'm saying. Maybe it's not. I'm asking you as a counsel to chop on that.
George, no, I mean, that's a counsel question. I'm just telling you legally, it's not a fatal defect under the statute.
It just doesn't feel right.
Can you finish your thought about why our town would not be able to do what a few of the other towns have done?
Well, we need this ordinance in order for Carmel to do the work.
Understood.
Right. So, eventually there will be bid specs, there will be all kinds of plans and everything. It doesn't say that it has to be there at the time of introduction. It says we're going to charge items to this ordinance in accordance with plans, specs, on file. It doesn't say. No bond counsel.
It says, therefore, on file. You have to say, therefore, will be on file. If you add will be, you got it made. You're good.
And it says, finally approved. She has to come back to this governing body and say, okay, here's the plans. Okay, and then they pass a resolution authorizing the clerk, the engineer, whoever involved in the process to advertise for the receipt of bids. So those specs have to be back here on the night the governing body meets in order to authorize to the next level. Everything is nothing done, behind the scenes or anything. Everything is done up front and public.
Thank you, Bruce. I mean,
okay. So I will close the public hearing at 8:33. Okay, so I'd just like to say the risk of oversimplifying. We have streets and roads that we must maintain and repair. They're in deplorable condition, many of them. And we have this money that's been given to us, $560,000, that's over $500,000, to help us do that. And I think that the prudent thing for us to do is to take this money and repave the roads that are in dire need, and then move on to the next roads that need it. I don't see how not passing these bonds can help anything. Then we have the roads that are still going to be in dire need of repair. I think in every town, that's what towns do. They repave the roads. Whether or not we want to replace the water pipes, that's the next issue to discuss. But at least for repaving the roads, I don't understand how, I don't in good conscience know how we cannot do that. We have residents here. We have to maintain and upgrade the infrastructure. And we have streets that have to be repaved.
Are we discussing the bond? Did someone move the bond?
No, that was my...
Public hearing still open.
Actually,
I
closed it.
Oh, you closed it? I'm sorry, I missed that. I talked to Councilman Sheehan. Sorry about that.
Are we moving on?
Well, so we can make a motion to...
We can make a motion.
Yeah.
And put this on the table, then there could be a discussion after that.
I'd like to move bond issue 1805.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion?
I just want to understand how this works. we applied for $494,000, right?
$481,000, I think.
We were given $210,000. Mm-hmm. Is it correct in assuming in order to get the $210,000, we have to make up that difference?
Yep.
Do you know? Is that how this works?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Plus the engineering and soft cost, which would bring it up to $350,000.
Can you say that?
Plus the engineering cost and the soft cost related to it, and that would bring it up to $350,000, which is what we would absorb, and the county, the state would...
All
chip
right,
in
so
the 210.
Yeah, okay. Right. So they're basically saying you applied for that much, we'll give you this, but you have to come up with the other.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's been done just about every time we've done a road project and we've gotten grant money. There's always a municipal share.
Okay.
And those numbers are on the list.
The right.
Also, sometimes, okay, there's got to be a little bit of a cushion for...
Right. I understand. Sure.
The process of adopting a bond ordinance, my opinion, is extremely expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just if we were to readopt this one down the road, attorney, debt statements, advertising, so you do put a little bit extra in the event that
sure.
A, the prices come in not so great, or B, for a little afterthoughts, for example, you have something you saw, hey, let's just fix it. The contractor's in town, let's just fix it, and obviously subject to a properly approved change order
mm-hmm.
by the governing body. So you do sometimes, my experience is throw a few extra bucks in for what might be afterthoughts. What you don't want to have happen is you have an afterthought.
Right.
You
right.
don't have the money.
Yeah, I can.
Let's readopt the ordinance.
Okay.
The guy moves all his trucks out of town. You adopt the ordinance. He charged you to bring the trucks back in town and disrupt the whole street again.
Right.
So sometimes
right.
it does happen.
Sure.
It does happen. It's just reality of municipal contracting.
Okay.
So that's
okay.
sometimes, yeah, you do need a little more buffing. But again, it's all regulated and monitored by your engineer.
Right.
She has to sign off on documents that get submitted for reimbursement. DOT checks it, they come out, they do what they do, and yeah, there's probably two, maybe three sets of eyes looking at it.
And historically, the bids have come in lower, where we've been in a position to cancel the balance of the ordinance. The part we didn't spend.
Right, if it comes in low.
Yeah.
Okay.
Historically, yeah. Because again, you want to put everything in high because you want to maximize the amount of grant funding you can get.
Right.
And there's no guarantee you're ever going to get grant funding every year either. We do very well. There's a lot of towns that apply and are denied. So for a small town, we do pretty well, historically.
Mm-hmm.
Do we only do road repairs when we get grant money? Or do you ever do a road just with your own?
We've done some little things here and there.
Well, there's
so pretty much,
there's
you have
been
to
on
grant.
For example,
if you're talking about things other than road grants, we've gotten grants for, I guess, what is it, the block grants or whatever, the
community
development
block grants. We've gotten those, and they're usually for roads too, but I think Mr. Clark did a great job of getting a significant amount of money that was used for Solar Village to fix and repair Solar Village. So there are grants that are for different things.
So we can't do Farm Lane until we get a grant?
No, not necessarily. You know, look, I don't know the condition, but let's just say Carmelo looks at it and says, look, it'll cost $15,000 to fix, I think, okay? You know, theory, okay? Then you might say, you know, we can't wait till 21 to do this. Let's just
call Heights down.
Give it a proper authorization, yep. Subject to the funding being in place, even subject to possibility, possibly amending this ordinance. Okay, so you, until you really get the magnitude of what Farm Lane's problem is, you may not want to wait till 21, you know?
Yeah, have to look at what the cost is, because there's options that we can do where we're not issuing debt also, depending, again, on the dollar amount. Yeah. Historically, we've done things like that for smaller projects where we fully funded it out of our own available reserves.
So this would be a 10-year bond? Is it liquidating or non-liquidating?
But it's not the utility, so it doesn't matter as far as liquidating.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
That's coming into play. That would only be on the utility side.
How much has been spent already to get us to where we are right now?
That's on the list.
It's on the list.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all the road repairs that have
been done. No, the cost of just getting us to here. I mean, the engineer has to fill out applications.
For this project, yeah.
I don't think anything, really.
Can you guys do your input?
Don't know, but it's not a lot compared to what will happen after this road repairs. Then the heavy money gets
spent. Well, because the problem I have is that it doesn't seem like the council and also the public has not been really informed right from the get-go. Like, I'm sure there wasn't a council meeting where they said, oh, you know, Carmelo is thinking about putting in an application for a grant for Homestead Road.
Well, probably the Public Works Committee worked with her on that.
Yeah, this was done more than a year and a half, almost 2 years ago by
the
previous
council. Because I'm relatively new. So
I know.
This is all seems very new to me, and it seemed like it just came out of nowhere.
I know, but it didn't.
But then I asked around.
Right.
And I asked other people. I said, were you aware of all this stuff and making decisions about, you know, Homestead Road and the courts? And nobody seems to have
been. Because it was the Public Works Committee from at the time that the grants were applied for.
Just like you'll be approving a future application on the new money that's right.
As well as when we get to the EIP course, and there's lots of resolutions, lots of forms to get funds. It's all out there. Mm-hmm. You need it to be authorized to proceed. And the DOT doesn't want somebody just sending an application in because, as you can see, this application has somewhat of a match. You can't have governing bodies have people submit applications. They get approved, and all of a sudden they say, hey, got $210,000, but we got to match it with $200,000.
Right.
And they're like looking at each other like, hey, like, whose idea was this? That's why you have to have proper grant management is that it's approved by resolution to submit so that the governing body knows what they're on the hook for. And it took till this process, till this point, to get to that.
Yeah, that this is the end point of that process. It actually didn't come out of nowhere. It's the end point of that whole process.
Okay. I understand Steve's point here, because it was two meetings ago that this first went on the agenda and got pulled off the agenda. And I think that caught a lot of us by surprise. So, but it's almost like as this was progressing, because beginning of this year, Carmela knew that this was available.
Right.
So we should have paid more attention to it, I guess, or how does that,
it was approved in late 16?
That was before us, so we had no idea. And again, we didn't really have an elected government again until January this year.
Well, no, Jerry's saying 16, not 17, 16.
It was applied for in
process.
Right now we're going into another cycle, so it could have been 2 years ago, but the next one is the Narco Road,
right,
which was probably done last year.
Yeah.
It was done last year.
Yeah.
Well,
this year's is out.
Yeah,
it's due October 8th.
Right.
Just Mr. Bowen, to your point of when do you get to discuss what you want to do or what this council wants to do, the next deadline is October 8th, according to the letter. So the process that came, the letter came last week, so that process is now. Whether Farm Lane or some other road or whatever that road is,
Farm Lane.
The letter here says October 8th is the submission deadline, so that's how long you have to decide what the 19 road is or the 20
road. We're all catching up on that also. You know, so, yeah.
I would say that I reviewed the, I did ask Carmela to email me the application that was made to the new NJDOT for this. I read it. It does not state or include any resolution of any council approving it.
It was approved. I'd have to look back and...
In 2016?
Either 16. 17. No, I wasn't here in 16.
I think it was in 17.
It would have to be in 16. It might have been
the beginning of 17.
It might have been 16. I don't remember the exact date.
The application itself, DOT did not get it. I would have included it if it was approved. If the council had approved it, I would have included that. I also have a few other points to make, which are that I received two emails from residents on Cedar Court. The one was everyone on the council appears to have gotten it. Emma Quackenbush, I live at 6 Cedar Court for 19 years. I don't have a problem with my water pressure. Why do you want to waste my tax money to replace water lines that work fine? I received another email from another resident saying I do not understand why the council is claiming that our water pressure is low. It was on Cedar
Court. Okay, Maureen, we're not discussing the water pressure now. We're discussing the bond just for the roads.
This relate. I would ask the chair not to try to censor me based on content. There is a First Amendment to the Constitution. I would like to complete. It does get to that.
No, we are ready to go to vote. This was discussion. You're reading correspondence that people have in
the same
packet.
Goes for paving the road. It isn't bad enough to justify spending this money to fix it. If we borrow money for these unnecessary repairs and then we have a real emergency, then what?
Do we have a copy of that?
Yes.
Of that, what you just read from right there?
I don't know if you did. Did you get it?
Is it sent to us?
Obviously, you're reading those, but obviously there are people that have one opinion about what should be done, and there are people that have other opinions. Jeb asked us to move forward. I've spoken to people in town who have asked us to move forward in doing this.
Could I finish?
There's two different opinions about what should be done.
Could I finish my comment without interruption, please? Is that acceptable?
I'd like you to.
Is it acceptable?
Yes.
Council also read only part of New Jersey statute annotated 48:2-12A1 and failed to read the remainder of it, which says that the bond ordinance shall include the estimated cost of such purpose or purposes. My primary concern with this bond ordinance for the road paving was mentioned by various residents. It states in section, the law does require the purpose, as I said, the purpose and purposes and the amount of money for each purpose. Section 3A states the improvements hereby authorized and the purposes for which the obligations are to be issued consist of various road improvements, all as shown on and in accordance with contracts, plans, specifications, or requisitions, therefore, on file with or through the borough clerk, as finally approved by the governing body of the borough. At the last council meeting, it was unequivocally stated, Carmela was present, it was unequivocally stated that there are no plans, the council did not approve plans, and they're not in the custody of the clerk. My concern is that this is a misrepresentation of fact in a legal document, in my view. I did consult other municipalities, and my understanding is that the language is to be in there because the law does require the purpose to be in there, but the language is supposed to be true, not false. So what I would like to say is that I am compelled to vote against this ordinance for the reason that I would not sign on to a bond that falsely states that it's to do work in accordance with plans and specifications. When those plans and specifications, there's no indication they exist, that they were approved, and that they're in the custody of the clerk. That would bind us to using it for those purposes. I believe the language is misleading and a misrepresentation of facts, so I feel compelled to vote against this ordinance.
Do you want to say something, George?
I mean, one of the things it refers to is contracts. Now, obviously, you can't have a contract without the ordinance.
It says or. It says or.
Okay, but
it says contracts
or.
Let him finish, Maureen, please.
If we don't have an ordinance, we can't have a contract.
Well, it doesn't say you have to have a contract.
But it treats it in the same way.
No, it says in accordance with contracts, plans, specifications, or requisitions. None of those are on file.
And you can't have a requisition until the ordinance is done either. So it's not referring that it has to be there at the time of construction. It says it will be there as the money is spent.
As finally approved.
Well, I've been an attorney for 38 years, and I consulted specialists in this area. I stand by that. I believe it's a factual misrepresentation. I will not put my name on a factual misrepresentation.
I deal with some of the best bond counselors in New Jersey, and they all have that same type of line issue.
Well, I consulted.
Okay, let's move this.
And I am an attorney.
What
Well, I consulted with bond counselors.
I'd like to move the motion. Move the ordinance.
I already moved it.
To close discussion.
The discussion is closed, Maureen.
Closed discussion requires a two-thirds vote of the majority of the council to close discussion.
Can I just add one more thing? I just want to be clear. So this grant goes back 2 years, right? It was a previous administration. Somebody else decided, I guess with Carmella, that Homestead Road and Cedar Court are the ones that were going to be repaved. So it's been traveling now for 2 years all the way up to where we are now. Mm-hmm. And the leadership here agrees that Homestead is a desirable road to fix, right? And Cedar Court. And there seems to be then, I mean, if it's been going on for 2 years, the previous administration also agreed that this was the way to go. So it seems like it's the normal thing to do. I mean, if you're going to get a grant like this, to actually go through with it. But I have tons of questions, a lot of things that Bert suggested. You know, like, why are we ripping up the whole road? You know, isn't it cheaper to just put the grooves in there and then lay down some blacktop on top of it? So, you know, and nothing is spelled out, you know, like because there are no plans or anything on record. So, you know, I'm confused about that issue. But at a certain level, I have to trust the leadership here that this is not an idiotic thing to do. You know, the idea that the Homestead is being done before a farm doesn't make any sense at all. The idea that we have a lot of potential emergency problems with sewer and water pipes would say that if we're going to be taking out bonds, we should be sending it in that direction. But, you know, that being said, I'd hate for everybody to have gone through all this work filing for the applications and then to not follow through with it and then have to do it all over again. But I am very conflicted about it. And I'm not real happy about the way it unfolded. The council seemed to be caught off guard. I'm definitely caught off guard because I'm new. But my fellow council members were also seemed to be caught off guard and not up to speed. And everybody's trying to figure out all this water stuff and
Can
road
I just
stuff.
Say, Steve, probably because everyone's fairly new. Really, everyone at the table except for me and Joe somewhat is fairly new. So as you say, these grants were applied for before anyone was even on the council,
I'm
except
an old man
for
too.
Me. Yeah, but in the last two, yeah, in the last two,
two?
Years, 2 years. But so a lot of this was in the works before almost all of you were on the council. So that's why so many people are all caught off guard, because they haven't been on very long.
I just want to state for the record, the applications were filed in January 2017.
Mm-hmm. And that was through resolution.
For resolution for approval to submit a grant application and execute a grant contract with the New Jersey DOT for improvement to Homestead Lane and Cedar Court. That was January 23rd, 2017. And then resolution 17-114 was October 11, 2017, to submit a grant application and execute a grant contract with the New Jersey Department of Transportation for improvements to Nurker Road and Elm Project. So there are resolutions approving
the grant application. What was the date of the Nurker Road one?
October.
October 11, 2017.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you,
Kevin. With this bond money, are we replacing all of Homestead?
No.
Only the portion,
the portion
that
wasn't
not
repaved.
So
the first portion was repaved in 2012.
Isn't included in this.
No.
It's paving, not pipes. This
yeah, this we're not at the water mains now.
Yeah.
We're just repaving.
Also, this afternoon when Carmela was here, she said because of the DOT and EPA and all the new restrictions, they have to take the pavement off and take the concrete off under the pavement also. So they do have to, because of the new resolution, the new regulations, have to go further to repave than in the past they've done. So, yeah, it's my understanding anyway. So, yeah.
And so then you said that the taxes will not necessarily increase with this incurring of a $31,000 a year?
And we don't know that it's going to be $31,000. I mean, if you look at our adopted 2018 budget, if you look at the capital side of the budget, there's $30,000 in the budget for capital improvement fund. There's $1,000 on a deferred charge, which is raising probably a balance of an old ordinance or something. I forget which ordinance it was. It was a small one. So right there, there's $31,000 kind of built into the budget. Again, it depends what our capital plan is, what we're doing. We're not doing major things here. But certainly, it'll get rolled in with everything else. It doesn't mean we're going to spend $310,000. Like I said, historically, they've always come in very low, And probably the way Carmella's going to bid it, we're going to get alternatives. You know, it's going to be up to the council to award the bid at that time. You know, if it came in at $600,000, we're not going to do it. You know, we'd have to rebid or, maybe go with an alternate or something like that. But, there's still more decisions to be made on this project. You know, this is not the final, okay, we're done. Then there's a whole process.
And it can be amended, did somebody say?
But not the purpose.
Okay.
But this project, this is just one of the next steps. We need to put the ordinance in place so we have a place to charge Carmella's work, but also eventually when we award a bid. But the council is going to get a chance to see what the bid is and what the bid entails and what the other bidders bid. And there'll probably be some alternates in there. So, maybe the project gets changed a little bit at that time, but it's going to be for those roads.
Over the years, we've always done road projects in this way. We've got grants for it. Mm-hmm. There's always been a municipal cost share, and often it's come in below. And it was really great when it did. It always seemed like it was inflated and then came in below. But I guess that's just being prudent and making sure that you have enough money in there so you don't have to take it out of your regular fund.
A lot depends too on the contractors.
Yep.
I mean, if we bid it at the wrong time of the year, they might be fully subscribed through next November. Mm-hmm. And then some guys will throw bids in, and they don't care. They get it. They make more money. Then we got to be careful. Mm-hmm. We can't gauge it. It depends on when you bid. Depends on how much work is out there.
Okay. And on a question also, going forward, the one for Nurco Road, could that be amended or modified to take Lake instead of Nurco? Is that possible?
I don't think so. I would doubt it at this point.
Farm Lane, yeah.
But certainly, I think we should look at Farm and see whether it's something for a future application or something we need to do now, and what we're talking about cost. Maybe we just have to fix that area for the time being.
Okay.
Maybe the cost isn't that great. I don't really know.
Okay.
But historically, historically on all these DOT projects, when there's been a debt portion, we've usually been able to just kind of like raise it without even issuing bonds. We haven't really done bonds for that. You know, this one's a little bit more right now, you know, $300,000. But there might be something we may have to issue. Probably we might issue notes over a period of a couple of years. Notes are usually even lower interest rate, and you can basically control what you want to pay in principal. Mm-hmm. So that there's a lot of options, and we have to see where the final cost comes in. But it doesn't mean that we're not going to go issue bonds for $300,000. It wouldn't be cost-effective. It would have to be mixed in with other things.
Okay. As to the NERCA road, I asked Mr. Berryman, the regional director, stated that, because personally I don't think NERCA needs anything at all. It's not in bad shape at all. But he said that we could always apply for a reduction in scope of the grant, not to change it to another road, because the NJDOT actually sent someone out when we make the grant application. They send a human being out to look at the road. But that doesn't mean it is the worst road. It just means that's the road we applied for. Mm-hmm. So we could make a motion, an application to reduce the scope and exclude NERCO if that was something the council chose.
Okay.
George?
I don't know if you'd want to do that, because that project, the funding is greater, and it funds most of the project.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. It does. Yeah. This one is partial, you know,
right,
to the lower side. Yeah.
Funds a greater much greater portion.
Yeah, this is NERCO's $350,000 for a $471,000 amount that
yeah.
you think we may need. And probably it'll come in lower than that. So, yeah, I definitely wouldn't want to give back some of that 350.
But I think they do it by percentage. So you wouldn't get the 350. It's a percent of whatever you end up spending. I don't think you get the 350 and then say, oh, we're only going to spend 350.
The contract is 300. You're not going to get 350.
Right.
All right, let's call the vote. Let's call the vote. So Do you want to make your motion again?
I already did.
Procedural.
I moved 1805.
I did it before.
No, you're not doing it.
Well, this was discussion. This was that's right, because this was a motion, a second, and discussion.
Yeah, this was the discussion.
Right.
I believe Councilman Parrott had a point of order.
Now? No, from before, because I said something after I closed it.
Okay,
but then,
so we resolve that?
But now we had a motion, a second, and this is discussion.
Now we're for a vote.
I just want to make sure there was anything other. Go ahead.
Roll call.
Keep us within the law.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
No.
Ms. Sheehan?
What are we doing?
To approve the bond for paving.
Okay.
Yeah, paving.
Yeah. Yes. Not happy to do it.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance 18-05 passes. Mm-hmm. We can begin to pave those roads.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we come to bond ordinance 18-06. This should be fun.
I'd like to move that we table this for right now, 1806, and we get back to it after we've done a little more research.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Clarification.
Sure.
You have to have the bond hearing.
Are we required to have the public hearing?
Yeah, can I?
We're worried about making sure all the records
are
clear.
You want to step ahead of me, Jerry. Thank you.
Okay.
Let the professionals.
You
want out of the way here. Right, okay.
I think the advantage of doing that is you get to hear the public input. And maybe it's just the beginning of a process of hearing public input on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think we should open the public hearing on it. We can always extend the public hearing. And
we can do another three in the afternoon.
You could always carry the vote to
another
meeting.
We're having so much fun.
You advertise this public hearing tonight. You should have the public hearing tonight. That's what was in the newspaper.
Right.
Okay.
So if you want to move to table the vote or whatever later, you could do that. But
do you want to untable?
We could do it. Let me untable the vote until after we have a public hearing. But do we need to...
So we still need...
I'll make a motion to open...
First, we're going to have the public hearing.
Yeah, I think
so.
So
you open the public hearing.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Exactly.
Okay, so...
Thank you,
this
definitely.
Is for 1806,
yes.
Second
right.
reading. You want to read it?
Public
yes.
hearing.
Yes, oh, I was ready to, but Joe jumped in with his table.
I'm
so.
I'm tired.
Okay, no, that's fine, because I don't think we... know what we're doing
day.
At this point. We're so tired.
Okay.
This is our second meeting since 3 o'clock.
Yeah,
okay, bond ordinance 18-06. Bond ordinance providing for the replacement of water mains, appropriating $715,000 therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $715,000 bonds and notes to finance a portion of the cost thereof, authorized in and by the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Monmouth, New Jersey. This bond ordinance is providing for the replacement of water mains located along Homestead Lane, Elm Court, and Cedar Court. Okay, I'll open the public meeting at 9:04 p.m. Public hearing. Would anyone like to speak? You have to come.
Everybody's spoken out.
Just say, no, I need to see
you. Claudia Luongo, 20 Pine Drive. I have so many questions. I'm not when you guys said you were going to table this, did that mean that you were going to open the questioning again to the public at another time?
No. Well, we could do it again. Like, we had a meeting this afternoon for...
Which a lot of people couldn't...
Yeah, I know, but now we can try to schedule it for when people can be there, like a real public meeting on this next issue.
Okay.
Okay.
So is that what you guys meant when you said you might table this?
Tabling is we're not going to deal with it tonight.
But we still have to have the public hearing because we advertised that there would be a public hearing.
Can we go somewhere? It's an ordinance, so it gets a
first meeting. Oh, so is this enough? Am I just asking, is there going to be a public thing? Is that fulfilled if nobody else is getting up to the mic, the public... hearing part
right
of this?
Right now, it's the public hearing, so you can ask, discuss, tell us however you feel about this bond ordinance. Mm-hmm. That's what the public hearing, everyone comes up to give us their thoughts, their opinions, their concerns, their happiness, and then normally we would then, after everyone has spoken and the council has discussed it, vote the way we just did. It's possible that we... feel that we won't have enough information tonight or not enough people got to speak or something, so it could be held over. Okay. But right now, it is the public hearing so that you can say anything you want about this bond ordinance.
And on a point of procedure, the next time this comes up, do we have to have first reading and then a second reading again?
No, but you have to re-advertise.
We're not there yet.
Okay, but the next time this comes up, not for public hearing, but as an ordinance, how does that proceed?
I would say another public hearing. I think I'd have the clerk re-advertise another public hearing and then do it again.
First reading and then second reading again?
No, not a first reading. Just a carrying on of the public hearing until which you advertise again in the newspaper. The public hearing will continue at the next meeting, mm-hmm. so that everyone knows that it's going to be acted upon.
Right.
And then a vote if it's the council's pleasure, then a vote.
Unless we table it again.
Right.
Cool.
But every time we're going to talk about this and have a public hearing, or it's going to be a second reading or potentially voted on finally,
gotcha.
We're going to advertise the newspaper first in accordance with the bond law.
Okay. So every time forward, it will be a second reading and a vote.
Correct.
Second reading.
Third reading.
Unless there's substantial changes to the ordinance that would require reintroduction.
Cool. Okay.
So, for example, if you increase the bond amount by $200,000, you got to introduce it again and restart.
Gotcha. Okay.
Or if we decide not to.
Or if you lowered it, too.
Or if we decide not to replace, it only deals with replacement. But right now is the opportunity. There's no indication. We have no idea whether any motion to table would ever pass. Right now, it's on the table to be voted on, and this is the hearing on from the public. What the public thinks.
Oh, okay, I know my husband's annoyed that I'm asking questions because it's late.
No.
You know, I'm not an engineer. I'm not a urban or city planner. But I know we're a small town that doesn't have a lot of means, and we don't have monies coming from commercial. We don't have any business in town. So if we are a small town and we're known for having trouble with our pipes, is there anything, and I'm not familiar with bonds and how they work necessarily, or government grants, are we eligible for something being a small town that's had a history, because our pipes originally were clay. I don't even know how many percentage of pipes in the town are clay anymore. If that's what our main lines are made of, and they're prone to cracking, and clay over time becomes porous, is there any funds that can be gotten, whether from state or even federal, to check that our water systems are fine, like that the water, I mean, we know we've had problems with the water being tested, that's a different issue, but is there a way to find out if we're eligible for more funds than we're aware of? Like, I hate to compare us to Flint, we're not Flint, but there's issues that went on that were hidden. So is there some other monies that could possibly be available? Because, again, we are not a wealthy town.
Well, what I can tell you is that our engineer, Carmela Roberts, is excellent at securing all the grants that she can. That's why we've gotten, as everyone's mentioned, over $1.5 million in just 10 years for such a little town that we are. She's the one who investigates all the available money. We have talked in the past to our state senators and senators, you know, being that we're such a historic town and, you know, the government built this town, federal government, and, you know, could they help us in any way? And we've always been told the same thing. They'd love to, but they don't have the money to do that. There's no money available to do that. So we have talked to the politicians, and we haven't gotten anywhere. And so we mostly rely on, not mostly, we rely on Carmela Roberts to secure the grant money. You know, she's constantly looking out for us and for whatever money she can find for us.
I would love to see the federal government step in and say, because this was a federal government
town. They set it up.
And a project, and they put these.
It was an experiment.
The
pipes were an experiment, the clay pipes,
and
too.
And we have historic pipes.
Yeah. Well, let me just say this also.
Wait, somebody said they're not pipes.
As far as I know, they're not clay pipes. They're all cast iron pipes. They're all cast iron pipes, and that's.
Well,
sewer pipes are pretty much cast iron also. Terracotta.
Oh, okay. Right. So the fresh water coming in from.
Is iron.
Is iron
then.
Pipes.
It's part of the reason we have the coloration on the
that's
water.
That's why we have the
also
water.
The brown water. Yeah, that's part of it. That's part of it. There's more. Right. And and also the, I forget.
Because I've had to replace my pipes.
Jerry, do you want to talk about the nano program for a minute?
Well, ma'am, the buzzwordness that we're hearing on right now is in the program from New Jersey. It's called the iBank now, the Environmental Infrastructure Trust, in conjunction with the DEP.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as a municipality of this nature reaches out to, let's say, one of their regional elected officials, they say, go
to the
EIT.
iBank.
Just go to the EIT, and that's what the deal is that is subject to this bond ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there is the potential for grant forgiveness, for loan forgiveness, but until you complete the whole project, you don't know that, okay?
Yeah.
But in the meantime, the way this is structured now, I believe, three-quarters of it is going to be funded with federal money at zero interest, and 25% is funded with state money at market rate. So the effective cost of capital might be 1%, okay? And that is the absolute best deal we're going to get until they rule on whether we become grant eligible or not, okay? And we don't know that until the end. And what we do in our business is we talk about it, but we say there is, and we go on record, there is no guarantee. So when we talk about, I know another gentleman mentioned something about going to different agencies. This is the agency that's been set up to help every single town. Okay? There really is no other place to go. Unless a miracle occurs and we become a line item in the federal budget to bail us out completely, which probably should have been done 25 years ago.
That's
a casual comment, but the grants that we get, every town is applying for, you can get it. In fact, if not here, but in other towns, if the project is more than $1 million, you're required to go to the EIT. There's not really an option. Okay, so
Jerry, didn't we get 40% last year, though, forgiveness, last time?
40% for the filters.
Yeah, now because we're a tiny municipality, there is this concept of a nano grant, which I don't really know what it means, but because we're small, we may be eligible in certain cases for substantial debt forgiveness. Okay, so but we just don't know. With the nano grant, it's competitive, and the sooner we get our papers in, the sooner we know whether we get on the list for that. Okay, which is why it's critical that somewhere online we have a decision as to which way we're going, because that you do face the possibility of losing a nano grant.
And they don't give the 50% principal forgiveness to the larger towns anymore. It basically is smaller towns. So
right now, in a nutshell, it's the best deal we're going to get, barring none. And again, subject to, we don't know where the administration in Washington is going at this point with their three-quarters interest-free loan, but if it's on the table right now, it's a good deal.
Can that, what you said, be like printed out for people to read?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Google it.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one that, like, wondered that.
We've discussed it at council meetings, the 1% interest rate and the possible 50% forgiveness. But, yeah, it's true. We haven't printed it out for the whole public.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry. Would anyone else like to speak?
Here's the website.
Oh.
NJIB.gov.
They changed the name. Okay, so if anyone wants to go on the website, it's NJIB.gov. Municipal infrastructure loans. Not minimum effort, maximum savings.
NJIB.gov.
Yeah. All right, yes, it is, but I called on Mr. Klein.
Jeff Klein, Homestead Lane. I'll be real brief. I think the public discussion has been great. You guys are unbelievable listening to the public, taking time to listen to the public, going back and forth with ideas. That's the whole idea, this whole thing. People are angry, not angry, whatever it is, but you guys make the final decision. It's up to you. I appreciate everything you've said, Steve. What you said was amazing. What everybody at the table has said has been amazing. And this is how it works. In my opinion, this is how it works. This is how it works. You read the law about how much time you have, who's in charge, how you do it. That's really how it's supposed to be done. That aside, I mean, and I really respect you guys for doing this. It's really amazing to watch this from the public point of view. That being said, I highly encourage you guys to table this bill, to hear the public discussion, and when it does come to the point, I highly encourage you to table this for this evening and let people listen to the tapes from this afternoon. I think that behooves everybody in town to be able to hear the discussion from 3 o'clock.
You were here this afternoon?
I was not, and I would like to hear it personally, but I just think overwhelmingly, if you vote on it tonight, yeah, and people not being able to hear the discussion from this afternoon really puts a in the side of this whole bill.
Yeah, we're going to try to get
so
that on the website.
That would be my. That would be the only thing I wanted to say was I highly recommend it be tabled. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to get that on the website immediately. This afternoon's audio.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who hasn't spoken?
The question is, even if we have 0%...
Bob
Craig in 7th School Lane.
Thank you.
Even if we have 0% money, and it's the best deal we're ever going to get on this particular bond, if it's not something we need to do, why do it? If it's not broken, don't fix it. And let me finish. The point is that if there's been a bunch of letters coming in to Maureen or to Peggy saying that there's water pressure in the courts, why would you want to go ahead and fix it right now if it's not a problem?
Well,
if there is a problem, then maybe you have to. But if there is good water pressure,
I can respond to that.
Why would you go ahead?
Well, just because there's not a problem now doesn't mean there's not going to be a problem later, because they're 80-year-old pipes, and we already know the condition of a lot of them that we've seen when we've had to excavate because of water main failures. I think Carmela spoke about that earlier today for people who haven't heard it, that there were actually pitted holes in sections, lots of what she calls tuberculation.
You can put your fingers in the holes across the street.
The pipes are thin. Some of the pipes are thin. Different areas, there's different conditions, but basically just because there doesn't seem to be a lack of water pressure or not sufficient water pressure doesn't mean that those pipes don't need to be replaced. And the design on the courts, it's not a great design. It's not the courts were designed improperly, in my opinion, or not to provide sufficient service. You need to loop. There needs to be, hydrants, too. I don't think there's hydrants. It's substandard, water main supply in general there. Just because there isn't a problem right now doesn't mean, that there aren't problems underneath the ground there.
Well, also, I used this analogy last meeting. I used this analogy at the last meeting. You can buy a car and never change the oil, and it will run great until it doesn't, because you've never changed the oil. So then that's the end of your car. So it will run along perfectly until a certain point that it stops.
You got to spare me here a second, though, because the rhetoric is absolutely flawless. Your words are absolutely true. Your words are absolutely true. Nothing to do with the issue on the table. It's what I call obfuscation and misdirection. And I'll explain why. Okay? Excuse me. What you're doing is you're confusing things. You're not really actually dealing with the issue, which is, have we taken a large law overview, like several people have spoken of here tonight, have we taken a long-term view of how to solve the water issues? I raised the issue this afternoon. Maybe we need to look at the idea of a $10,000 well for every house in Roosevelt. It would be a third of the cost of the $10 million that they're talking about if you replace the pipes. So what I'm saying is, or doing these other different kinds of channels that I was talking about this afternoon, we put all the utilities in a concrete channel and then have a way of replacing all the pipes on a regular basis every 20 years, and you're good forever. But the point is that right now what's happening is you're looking at this piecemeal. You're saying, let's solve this because the pipes may be bad later. And that's perfect rhetoric. No one can argue that. No one can fault that. But it doesn't apply to the vote on the bill tonight. What I'm saying is at least let's table this until there's a chance for the whole town to chop on it in a large town meeting, preferably on a Saturday, perhaps a Saturday morning at the school. If you're talking about $10 million for water, don't go off and do it piecemeal. Do it really thinking it through and thinking it out so that you have a holistic way of solving the issue, finally, that it goes, it's an ongoing way of solving the problem, not just a one-shot, and a one-shot for a small part of the town. So I'm asking you to table it at least until we have more chance for the whole town to shop on it at a larger meeting.
I agree. We should table this discussion.
Okay, well, we're not at that point.
I'm sorry.
Okay. That's good. I love it. That's okay. The first time I ever heard that.
Okay. Anyone else? Anything? Okay, I will close the public hearing at 9:20 p.m.
Any procedural motions on this ordinance? Any procedural motions on this ordinance?
You want me to say that?
You know it's coming.
I'm sorry. Michael fading. Do I have any procedural motions on this ordinance?
I move to table 1806.
Can I ask a question? Well, I guess we need a second. But my question is, are we voting to table it, which is to remove it to a future date, or carry it over? Carry over the public hearing on 1806 to
the
27th meeting. I think it's important for people to understand.
Are they both the same thing? Or
a little different. Yeah.
The hearing is either closed or it's not closed.
Right.
So that's up to the council.
What do you mean, closed to the public, or
no,
closed
the closing the public hearing?
You should move to continue the public hearing at the next meeting.
Then you'd have to reopen.
To give everyone the chance to read, like Mr. Klein said, listen to the recordings, and people can get the benefit of 3 o'clock before.
Right.
So the meeting, the motion is really to carry the public hearing and continue it at the next council meeting after advertising by the clerk.
Right.
Okay. As opposed to
taking a vote right now and calling the question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we're, you know,
so do I have a motion?
So the table is being procedural here.
Yeah. So the public hearing is going to be moved.
Continued to August 27th.
Continued.
Could you restate the motion?
Yeah, please.
Move to continue the public hearing after the public has the benefit of listening to the 3 o'clock recordings.
I move to
August 27th.
What he said.
I heard Joe say it.
Perhaps somebody else should make it if somebody.
Sure, you want to
make it?
Take a crack.
I'm not making it.
I'll make a motion to.
Okay, may I read it?
Go ahead. You do.
Okay, cool.
Continue the public hearing.
I move to continue the public hearing on Ordinance 1806 until the August 27th, 18 meeting
for the public.
So that the public may have the opportunity to hear the 3 o'clock meeting we had today, and et cetera, et cetera. Bow.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Yeah.
All in favor? Can I do that, or do I have to do a roll call?
Hold on. I would do roll call, please, but hold on. Because now I'm
lost.
Second?
Yeah, me too.
Who was
Joe was first.
Who was the second?
Second, Steve.
Steve?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to reiterate.
Right.
The public hearing for bond ordinance 1806 is going to continue on August 27th, 2018 council meeting for the public to hear the audio that was done earlier today.
So they have the opportunity to hear the audio. It's online tomorrow.
It's like movie night.
Yeah, like movie night, yeah. You have a double
provide
feature.
Provide popcorn?
And I mean, as a practical matter, too, Carmella had indicated that you had asked about that pipe bursting issue, Councilman
right,
Bowen.
Right,
and
right.
She said that she would get more information for
and
you.
We want
yeah,
to
she,
well.
She would confirm the
so
numbers.
So may we invite Carmella to speak about pipe bursting at this next meeting?
Can we just have a vote on this?
Yeah.
Well, I want to, yeah, but I do want to make, are we going to include Carmella Roberts to investigate further?
Well, that's
did
up to
her.
I mean, I don't know if she can, write. She can write you a letter before the meeting if she can't make it, or she can make it, or
mm-hmm.
she can do it.
Doesn't you were
need,
here, so yeah.
It doesn't need
you know
to be in
need.
This motion, does it?
No.
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 We can just
no. Okay,
yeah.
So just move. We're
just roll
gonna
call.
Continue.
Just roll call.
Okay. Mr. Bowen.
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton.
I think, yes.
Mr. Parker.
Yes.
Ms. Parrott.
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan.
Yes.
Mr. Trammell.
Yes.
Unanimous.
Okay, so
well,
we're removed,
almost,
continuing
yeah.
the public hearing
and
at 8:27.
People say that we disagree about things. We're
yes.
unanimous
we do
on
disagree.
Something.
Yeah,
right. I'm going to call a 5-minute break.
Yeah,
just that's all, 5 minutes. We'll return at 9:30.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. I'll pause. Numbers should not be over.
All right, meeting is resumed at 9:35 p.m.
I'd like to make a motion to pay the bills, resolution 18-106.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? Being none, roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, 6-0.
Resolution 18-107.
I'd like to offer 18-107, authorizing the extension of the due date for the third quarter 2018 tax payments.
Second?
Second
that. My mind.
Who was that? I'm sorry.
Mike.
I made the motion.
And then Maureen
seconded.
Maureen
can we extend
discussion?
It any further than this?
I don't think so.
What's the date?
Can we table it?
Just so it's extended to the 31st of August.
The 31st.
Now. Yeah, 31st.
Yeah. So.
And so, okay, no discussion. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Machine?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
18-108, resolution designating the first council meeting of each month for the remainder of 2018 to be an agenda meeting and designating the second council meeting of each month for the remainder of 2018 to be an action meeting. Do I have a motion?
Make a motion to send this to committee for vetting. I don't think this is, I hadn't seen this until just a few days before the meeting. I was kind of surprised to see this appear on the agenda. I don't know how it came about. It didn't seem to go through committee. I'm on administration. I don't remember discussing it. I think there's a lot of issues related to it. I think it could have a lot of merit. But there also could be some issues that have concern for people. Cost of professional services, if we're going to have a borough attorney at an extra meeting every month, it could cost more over the long run. Advertising, volunteer fatigue, meaning us, being at more and more and more meetings and having open public hearings that we're talking about and all. I don't see a structure. We're passing something that doesn't have a structure necessarily specified, but I think that would be a great discussion to have because, I mean, I'd like to have some input on a agenda meeting structure. I just think, and we also may need to change, this actually may need to be done by ordinance. I'm not really sure. It also may affect the administrative code. So I would like to see it run through committee and also have it be an open committee hearing so that the public can talk about it too, because I think it has a lot of public merit. And this is something we've discussed over and over again, and I think there was a lot of interest in possibly having agenda meetings where there was more input on it. So I'm making a motion to send it to the committee, and but to keep it alive and see if we can talk a little more about it.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Just for point of fact, it doesn't create an additional meeting. It was three people. The clerk changed the resolution because it said councilpersons Bowen, Parrott, and Sheehan are presenting the resolution. It doesn't add a meeting. It's the first. We normally have, under the borough code, have two meetings, and so the first would be an agenda meeting, just to clarify.
Okay. Can we have a roll call on Mike and Steve's?
So, motions? Just to clarify, this is
tabling.
Send it to committee.
Really, tabling and sending it to committee. To administrator?
Administration committee.
Administration committee.
I think it makes sense.
Okay.
Everybody understand that?
We have a motion and a second?
Yes.
Yes.
So you first and Mr. Bowen second. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, so that's going to administration committee.
Can we come to reports of committee chairs? Administration, Councilwoman Parrott.
I have a letter here that is from me, just to the borough, Kathleen Hart and members. I hereby resign as a member of the Roosevelt Borough Council effective immediately. It is signed, so I'm handing it over. Thank you.
Who's this from?
It's from me.
The whole
it's from
thing.
Me. Sign Maureen, rights of parent.
Oh.
What's the date of that?
Dated today.
Dated August 13th.
Can the public speak to that?
No, absolutely not.
There's still public comment to come. There's still public comment to come.
You can speak
about it
later. Public comment later on.
We're on reports, really.
Yeah, really, really.
Okay.
Okay, so being no administration report, community development code enforcement, Councilman Parker?
I'll keep it short. We have a stop sign at the... at the triangle.
I know, that was quick action.
And then, yeah, Dave got that up pretty quick, so thanks to Dave, and thanks to Jeb for observing
does
that.
Jeb,
she's
left.
Not here.
Does she know, do you think she, I wonder if she knows?
What triangle? At the triangle.
Homestead and Valley and Oscar were the old, well, not Oscar, mm-hmm. Homestead and Valley.
Is that a new stop sign? Or
yes.
It's new, yeah. I believe he ordered it, yeah.
Yeah.
Was
yeah.
there, no, I mean, is that, there was never one, there was one there.
It was a yield sign.
Yield sign.
Yeah, and then Jeb brought
when you,
up.
When you change a road designation like that, do you need, do you need approval? Does it need to be,
we
this
need to
is
work
a legal
on the ordinance.
Count,
it's a town road as opposed to a county road.
I'm sorry, I'm still digesting that someone just quit it.
I know, we're all digesting
yeah.
that.
Well, Greg asked to see the letter, and I went like this.
I prefer to digest things at home. I want to digest things at home. But what I'm trying to find out is Councilman Parker said that they replaced what was a yield sign with a stop sign.
Okay.
Now, does there need to be...
You have to have an ordinance if you want it to be enforceable.
Right.
So we can't enforce it, which
can't.
There's no one that really does
enforce
it anyway.
Yeah, it's like a moot point,
good,
but...
I drove up to it. It's good because, I mean, it kind of forces me... Because I knew it forces you to do at least a rolling stop, and then two cars flew by going, like, 35 to 40. So it's really good, at least, even if you can't necessarily enforce it just yet, we'll be working on for an ordinance. I don't know.
If you guys could set me, all you have to do, I do this in Belmar every summer, we change all the signs this way and that way and all the other ways. You just send me a picture, if you could text me a picture of it, and a Google map and like printout, and you just put a dot where the stop sign is so I can see it.
Beautiful.
And then I can go on there on Google Maps, and then I'll just go in your code, I'll find the stop signs, and I'll write the ordinance for you and put it on the next meeting.
Awesome.
And sometimes we do, the state police come by, not often, but periodically. And that was, someone called them. But, and we can sometimes we can ask them, like, can you keep an eye, you know, go near the triangle, see who, if anyone ignores the stop sign or the speed limit. So, I mean, they don't, I find that they tend to come at like 5:30 in the morning when everyone's sleeping and just do a cruise around. But we can ask them to watch for a while or as often as they can.
It definitely helps because, I mean, even at the least, a rolling stop, it shouldn't have been a yield sign.
Mm-mm.
You shouldn't be slowing down because it's not intended to be turning and then looking to see if someone's coming this way. It's people coming the
opposite
direction.
I think it was a yield sign when we had no traffic in Roosevelt. When just there were no delivery trucks. There was no Amazon, UPS. Everybody had one car, and so it wasn't really much of an issue. But now.
But it was a good observation by Jeb. And,
it's a terrible intersection. Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's all I got for community development as of now.
Okay, that's fine. Environmental health and safety, Councilwoman Sheehan.
This is going to be pretty boring. It's been a very exciting night.
We could use boring.
Yeah.
That's really
neat. The Environmental Health and Safety Committee met on August 24th at 6:30 in the Borough Hall. It was open to the public. Steve Bowen, Maureen Parrott, Bob Clark, and Beth Battelle were present. Primarily, the meeting discussed the Green Acres Program Project number 1341-10-295. In 2014, the borough submitted a pre-application to the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection to give former Mayor Battelle 2.5 acres of Green Acres protected land. As compensation, Ms. Battelle would give the borough approximately 12.5 acres of primarily wetlands. The borough has spent more than $75,000 on the pre-application. The question we posed was, should the borough continue and or reinitiate the project? And if so, under what terms and conditions with the owner of the replacement parcel? Ms. Battelle and Bob Clark gave some background to the committee on the origins of this land swap and said that the project was approved by the Environmental Committee, the Planning Board, and it had held a public hearing to discuss the project. According to Ms. Battelle, an environmental impact study, title review, and a survey of the two parcels of land still need to be done to complete the project. So we're waiting a status report from Jessica Patterson, who was with the Bureau of Legal Services and Stewardship with the Department of Environmental Protection Green Acres Program, is working up a status report on this project. And once we have that report, the committee plans on meeting again, and we will come up with a report and present it to the council. And then just one other thing, for about 5 minutes, we discussed the possibility of creating a web page on the website. This was an idea that kind of came out of the mayor's request for some kind of a welcome package. We have a lot of new residents. So I thought we could create some kind of a page that residents could go to find information on hunting. I've always been kind of amazed that you never know when hunting season begins,
you're
where
right.
it is,
you're right.
you know,
That's true.
That kind of thing. Information on Lyme disease, which is a real problem here in town. Borough speed limits, which has become very problematic, at least on Pine Drive.
No, all over town.
All over town. So anyway, that kind of thing was discussed.
Look at the trash and recycling days.
Pardon?
The trash and recycling days.
Yeah.
You could ask your
neighbors.
How to volunteer on the council.
Right. Anyway, anybody has any ideas on what they'd like included on this page?
Yeah.
Shoot me an email.
Yeah,
I will tell you there, as far as like Lyme disease and all that, you should put a link for the Monmouth County.
Yeah.
Health department, because they have all that
information.
I think I have a copy. There was a group at a farmer's market. They actually were just, it's a whole page of all information sourced from Rutgers, different links. And I didn't bring it today, but I'll just bring copies for the next one, and then we can put that into the packet.
Okay.
It has literally all the information all on one page of links you could go to.
Okay.
Also for hunting and whatnot, the sheriff, Lisa, I think her name is, over in the Assunpink, has everything you need. I gave her the hunting map, the safe zone map from Roosevelt, which she did not have.
Okay.
It is in our, believe, our master plan or the code. It's in the police section, and it's at the end of the police section. It's in color, and it shows a 450-foot safe zone around us.
Okay.
So that should be included
that,
in
yeah,
it also.
That should definitely.
So there could be a link to fishing game, too.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, because yep. all the different types of hunting seasons, and there's four or five types, you know, deer,
right.
turkey. So
and then even we could let people know that to be on the lookout for flyers about, you know, we have the string band concert once a year. Lots of the new people don't know about the July 4th picnic.
Well, maybe a link to
yeah.
the rap.
Right, all the different
that
events
kind of
that happen
yeah.
in town.
Yeah.
That's great.
Anyway, that's it.
But then
you
can't give someone, like, I don't know. What, don't those welcome baskets? They bring, like, baskets, like fruit and stuff. We could have Mendy's Farm. You know, like
digital fruit baskets.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Finance, Councilman Hamilton.
There's just too many numbers right now that we've been discussing that we have been trying to process. So we haven't really had a finance meeting to, you know, since the last discussion of finances. But there are a number of things coming up, so I think we will have one moving
okay.
forward. But we don't. I don't have a report now.
No,
that was a long way
okay.
to say that.
Yeah, no report.
Public Works, Council Member Bowen.
just to follow up on the issue with the falling trees that are on borough property and fall into somebody's yard. You know, it came up with a big branch had fallen on somebody's shed, and the Public Works guys couldn't deal with it. So then Allen's had to be called. And then I started my questioning about whether the borough should be paying for people to removal of trees that originate from borough property. Apparently, double check me, Greg, but the law says that if a tree lands in your yard, even if it's in your neighbor's yard and falls into your yard, that you have to pay for it to get rid of it. That's what I found on the internet, anyway. So, you know, I questioned, I brought it up last council meeting. After the meeting, the next day I talked to Anna, and we decided to pay for this $1,000 removal, mostly because it's been the standard policy for who knows how long, and we didn't want to single this resident out. But what we ended up doing was we looked at the history to see how often do these types of things happen. And it was minimal, few thousand a year for the last couple of years. And actually, it's come down since we started to have a public works crew who could deal with a lot of the stuff that we would normally call Allen's for. So then she also contacted the insurance company to find out more about what they recommend or do. And it turns out that if one of our trees falls on somebody's shed or on their house, then they need to call their homeowner's insurance. And then they have to file a
tort.
Like a claim,
tort
claim.
Notice
claim
of tort
or something.
Claim.
And then the insurance company reimburses the homeowner for their
costs.
Whatever, whatever that word is. So then, you know, going forward, her idea was that if we decide that we're not going to be paying for these types of things, that everybody should be made aware of it. Mail or a poster or something. But then one thing I did think of was one of the reasons why there aren't a lot of reports of this nature is because I know I've had two trees fall in my yard from the woods into my yard, and it never occurred to me to call the borough and have them deal with it. I mean, I just dealt with it myself. A number of other people have said the same thing. So now I'm a little concerned that if we say, okay, well, we'll deal with that type of a problem, that the reports will increase. So I don't know, you know, how you go about either changing the policy or making the policy to be what it's been for the last 20 years. But until it changes, if I'm asked to give approval to remove a tree from somebody's yard, I'm going to have to say yes until I have some other guidance otherwise. So
only if
that.
It's a burrow tree that falls on someone's yard. That's
well, does a Green Acres tree falling onto somebody's property count as a burrow tree? Because that's what this one was.
Yeah, I think it always did in the past.
The standard is whether we know. So your statement of law is accurate. If a tree falls in your yard, it's an act of God. Act of God is covered by your homeowner's insurance. The borough can be liable if you call the borough 2 days before and go, there's this branch that's hanging over my house and shed, and it's about to fall, and then the borough does nothing, and then it falls, then the borough becomes liable. They file a tort claim notice, and our insurance pays. And as we talked about last time, it's really a matter of whatever policy you guys want to set. If the policy is you pay for the ones that fall through the cracks rather than having to make claims against your claims history on the insurance, you know, that's something you got to talk to the GIF about and maybe get an idea. It doesn't sound like it's too many. You know, if you don't want to push every $1,000 claim to the insurance because then it's just like car insurance. You knock the mirror off, maybe you go to Pep Boys and just buy the mirror yourself so you don't get the claim on your insurance. And that's a business judgment you'd have to consult with George about. But the law is accurate. It's really a matter of policy, what you guys want to do, where you want to draw the line, rights of way, yards, what have you. But that's the you're dead
right,
on.
So until we change it, I'm just going to continue with what the policy has been, which is we pay, unless we come to some decision about doing it differently.
How often do you think, Steve, it happens?
It didn't look like it. It was like $3,000 or $4,000 2 years ago, a little bit less than that the following year. And there were a lot of trees down, apparently, this past year from storms, and the public works guys handled a lot of it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask about. If you have a big storm, like a hurricane, that comes through, and you know, we got Sandy when it was a
not even
level
just
one.
This summer alone, it was so much rain. So
you
many
could
trees
get a lot of claims all of a sudden,
right?
Yeah. So it's I think yeah, we need to establish our policy, and I think we need to notice people. I would suggest a flyer saying, by the way, if a tree falls, blah, 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 this is how you handle it. This is how we handle it.
Yeah. People will be upset because traditionally we've always paid, but...
Yeah, but not everybody has had a claim like that or has had a tree fall from the borough property onto theirs. So, yeah, we're changing the practice. If we change the practice, you have to notify people.
Right, so then the question is, are we going to change the practice?
I don't know.
I don't care either way.
Do you want to discuss it in committee, or you already did, or?
No, I haven't discussed it in committee. You know, I talked to the public works guys today, and they don't have any problem going out with their chainsaws and doing whatever they can. And maybe that's the line that we draw.
Yeah.
You know, that if our guys can't handle it, then you got to go pay for it. Yeah. Maybe that's a happy medium.
It's nice if we can offer to help our people. We don't provide that much in the way of services for the tax dollars that we collect. So I think it'd be nice if our guys could do it, fine. If not, then you have to say, look, you need to do this. You need to file.
Right. Legally, you're responsible.
Can we leave it loose like that? Like if our guys can do it, we will. No. But if not,
it should be there should be some guideline. Right. That you can refer to, so that you're not being
set a line,
making
like
arbitrary kind of decisions.
You know, it's on your property, and our guys can handle it. We'll come do it after you sign this waiver and release for our guys to come on your property.
Yeah, because I don't know.
You know,
JIP and wise.
Or you could say the right of way will always take care of us.
We should be going on people's property.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know if that's going to be.
That's true.
Yeah, they always have, but
there might be other issues here. I probably need to go back to committee again, and some of those issues need to be discussed. Liability of our
right.
guys on somebody else's property
exactly.
with chainsaws.
Yeah, what could happen?
What could happen?
Well, and during Sandy,
and tights and chainsaws,
everybody who worked in town was out there with chainsaws and in the pouring rain and the snow.
We've done it with power lines down.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys should talk about it in committee. I mean, I told you before, there's other towns that do it. If it falls in the right of way, a sidewalk, a street, the public generally expects the town to pick that up versus in someone's backyard, you know. So there's whatever you draw the line is okay, just as long as you apply it equally to everybody is really good.
So we're going to have a public works committee meeting, at least for that issue and some others. I talked to the guys today about the emergency protocol. One idea I got from John Bo, who works on the rescue squad. He has this thing called Active 911, and I guess you register for that through the Monmouth County Sheriff's Department, and then I guess you get an app on your phone, and then anytime there's a 911 call anywhere in Roosevelt, it alerts those apps. So, you know, I think we should have at least our two public works guys and me and maybe Joe. Mike, to have that. I mean, I think it's a good thing to have. And then we also talked about the text message chain, you know, of when an emergency is reported, you know, a text is sent out to all concerned. And then everybody is kept apprised of the situation as it's resolved, or until it's resolved, so that you could just look at the text messages to see this was reported, and then it was handled by Dave or Greg, you know, and then the power was restored, and the whole thing is done, and it's all on record. So that was another thing we're talking about. Another thing
because
that came
you know what, I think people even miss the siren. I know people miss the siren, because as soon as you heard it, it alerted you, like, all right, someone needs, you know, you check on people, was that the ambulance, you know, you can check on people that you have concern about. And I think almost everyone who's been here for a long time misses the siren, because that was at least one way of communicating that there was some problem in town. I think that's a great idea.
Another thing we talked about was, you know, because we have three public works guys, and they're very new, I mean, since January, I guess. And everybody's sort of doing their own thing. And so there's been some discussion with Mike having to do with designating somebody, one of those three, as a leader, mostly for coordination of functions, communication, and that type of thing. And they were agreeable to that idea. So at our next committee meeting, we can, you know, talk about that and maybe think of a job description that would provide the context for the leadership role. That's about it for now, I guess.
I did want to compliment, when I'm coming down Pine toward Tamara, you couldn't see cars coming around that triangle sometimes on the right-hand side if you're coming from my end of the road up. And I think they did a good job of clearing out on Cynthia Ambry's property, clearing out a visual kind of thing, so you can see really clearly it got there now.
Yeah. Same thing down by where they put the new stop sign.
Yeah.
That's
and that's really helpful because it's always a little scary. You kind of approach it with a lot of trepidation.
Right.
And it's nice to see that that was done.
I did hear, I wasn't able to check it out yet, but I heard that a resident called me and said that even though all the sort of overgrowth was cleared from Two Pine, you know, that meets Rochdale, that there's a tree there that obstructs your view. That it's hard to see because there's a tree.
Where?
I just got the call yesterday, so the same house, the corner of Pine and Rochdale.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, right over here.
Yeah, it's hard to see.
As you're making a
left. Is it on Landale's property?
On the left side, it's on the town
property. Oh, I mean, but in front of Landale's house?
Not in front, it's on the Rochdale side.
No, that's what I meant, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you could check that out, Steve?
Yeah. The other issue was there's still some confusion about Solaris, the lawn mowing people. You know, Greg says, you know, the contract says this, and they're not doing that, and there's a number of issues regarding what they're supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do. So I think we need to go over this contract again so it's clear to everybody what they're supposed to be doing, because apparently it's not clear. That's it.
I think there have been some credits or something, because I know that Greg went out with Antonio Solaris and said, listen, you've been contracted for a while to do this stretch of, I think it was on Lake, but you didn't do it. We had to do it. We're going to take a deduction. And I think that was processed, too. So we are being more hands-on with that, which I think is great. While we're looking at the contract, though, we also had to look at other areas that we think may need attention but aren't in the contract. So that the next time we do this again, we got a running list of, don't forget to add this, this, and this on it.
Right.
Yeah, but good. Glad you're doing that.
Okay, Mr. Utilities, Joe Tumel.
Okay. I don't have a written report, but I was at the sewer plant today, Mike Lyon down there, and one of his helpers are shoveling out the sodium aluminate tanks as opposed to having a service come in and clean them. So they're going to clean them up themselves. I forget.
Shoveling what?
Oh, sodium aluminate tanks. And we're finding out that because there's no paddle within the tanks to keep the mixture suspended, that's why it looks like a snowstorm in there all the time. So when the contractors come out to remove the tanks and replace them with new tanks and plate the metal brackets that are holding the tanks up, Mike wants to put some paddles and electric paddles so it keeps the mixture suspended so we won't have this problem. Also, we had a problem with the phones there not dialing out beyond 609 area code for emergencies. Come to find out that it's because MCI and Verizon merged and somehow MCI got that phone number and they cut off the long distance service or the regional service. It would only dial out to 609. Our Verizon rep, John Zignia, ZK something, really nice guy. He's the Central Jersey Verizon rep. He took it upon himself to go through his crew, and we got a form in the mail where we are now going to be in a Verizon Enterprise customer for that phone number. MCI wanted us to become their client, but, you know, they blew it. The sewer letter on reimbursement. Yes, there was a form here that Toby and George Vasseur did a while back that explained that if your sewer line to the street was clogged, that you should call a plumber, have him come and clear it, and videoed the line so we would know whether or not it was the borough's problem or the homeowner's problem. There was no other copy of that letter. Nancy Warnicki had a copy, and that's how she got paid for that.
So I took a picture of the original letter and retyped it. I'm going to hand it over to Anna, and we should approve it as a council with the sewer folks to make sure that this is proper for reimbursement and whatnot. And aside from that, we spoke at length today at the special 3 o'clock meeting, so I encourage everybody to listen to the audio and make up their own minds about the follow-through on the water pipes and stuff like that. So, and that's it for me. Okay.
Craig, is that an ordinance? Is that in the ordinance book about doing that video?
How do you mean?
I just remember seeing it someplace.
Audio or video?
Oh, you mean requiring the video of the service lines?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can look for it while you guys
are talking.
Okay,
I have one.
I
have one.
It'd be in the water utility.
I have that one, a copy of it. Right?
Yeah.
Nancy's up there. But she's the only one Nancy wanted. Right? I was there when they were servicing it, so I made sure I got a copy. And it is on file. It's on file. Anna put it on file in your computer, I think. But the letter itself, nobody can find it, so I retyped it myself, and I want to make sure it's proper for everybody to. So, okay.
All right, we come to reports of borough officials. I don't think we need any. Well, Mike, you're next because I have you under.
Well, also the environmental commission.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay. All I wanted to do is convey the request from the commission that the appointments be made, that we get two appointments made of recommending that the two current alternates, Mr. Parker and Mrs. Phelan, be made regular members.
Yeah.
And in this case, it would be to 2020, and to her case, to the end of what's her current alternate term, which would be the end of this year. So
okay,
just conveying that request.
To explain, I'm going to make Cody Parker and Kim Phelan. They're currently alternates on the Environmental Commission, but we're going to make them regular members. So that leaves an opening for two alternate members. So if anyone is interested or you know anyone who might be interested, just let me know or let Michael know, and I'll continue my search. But for now, Cody and Kim will be regular members, not alternate members.
Right, and as I said, with Cody's term going
changing,
to the end
yeah.
of 2020 instead of to the end of 2019 as is now, Kim's term going to the end of 2018, which is current. So now you've done it, so now it's official. Okay, thank you.
Okay, yeah, sorry, Mike. I just tonight was kind of
burnt out.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, come to old business. Does anyone have any old business they wanted to discuss at the table? From the table.
I'm so tired. I can't.
I know. I'm like,
I
mean, plus the just
I don't even know what I'm
the shock about. Of everything. Okay, so new business. Michael, would you like to come back? It's called a Historic Preservation Grant Program. Repair the amphitheater at the FDR Memorial. So Michael can. Since
yeah. Okay.
Remember,
this is a program that the Monmouth County Historical Commission has available. They have I think it's $5,000 maximum that you can get. And it's basically a matching grant. The borough would have to come up with half of the money. Now, the question would be, the one project that I can think, it's a bricks and mortar thing. The one project, quite literally bricks and mortar, would be the amphitheater. Now, the question is, I know some work has been done on it already, so we'd really need some report saying what has to be done and how much that's going to cost. And if the borough wants to proceed with that and we can get that report, whether Public Works doing it or if you need the engineer to do whoever has to do it, and then we can submit that to Historical Commission and see if we can get some money for it.
Well, what's your opinion? Should it
I don't
should
know. I would need some. I think somebody.
Should it be
I'd
the
like
engineer?
I'd like to see Public Works take a look at it first.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
obviously it costs us less than Public Works.
Yeah.
Take a look at
yeah,
it
so
and tell us if they
know.
Think this.
Also, Public Works and
I think Steve
went over there for the graduation and started doing
yeah.
actual physical brick and mortar
right.
work on
right.
it.
They, I mean, they may not. Maybe enough has been done that, you know, it's not enough worth to put in for an application.
Could we use that work that they did?
Well, not what you've done already, no.
Yeah, right.
Oh, really?
Well, Mike,
okay,
is it strictly
yeah.
repair, or could it be improvements,
yeah.
or?
It's essentially restoration, you know, it's historic preservation, so it's essentially restoring the property. Now, I mean,
so
the one thing
have,
I could think
we
of.
We have the little pool back? Because that's
do
restoring
we want,
it to the natural
do we want to clear the mosquitoes out of it? Mm-hmm. I think
how
we filled it in for
how
a reason.
A lamp post.
No,
what
it goes for
that's my pet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It.
We have
well,
no
that's
lamp
reason.
Post.
It's his reason.
You can put a mirror
I
there.
That
was a reason.
A mirror would have the same effect.
We don't have a pool.
That's a good one.
speak because you remember Izzy Sackowitz?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Izzy Sackowitz decided he didn't like that pool, and so he filled it up and planted grass.
Oh, really?
No,
I see. Okay.
Well, things were really different back then.
Yeah, no.
So
no.
I mean, is that something we could look into? Everyone loved that pool.
I would suggest getting Johnny and Jeb involved with it also.
Okay. If we can
they were
the,
there
but,
for
but
the
we have to do something. I think the application, it's not that long a time that we have to apply for.
Did you hear what Deirdre's suggestion, though, also?
What was that?
My pet peeve, lamppost. You know those two dangly lamppost?
Fix those.
They've been that way since?
Yeah. Well,
as
anything,
long as I can
anything
remember.
Can be, the one thing I was thinking of is maybe there should be a handrail down the middle of the, you know, down there so make it a bit more accessible for people.
Yeah. That'd
be better.
That'd make good safety improvement. We might
because we haven't
might
done anything in a long,
to improve
long
that,
time.
You know, include that because I think it is a little difficult sometimes people to walk down without any handrail.
Yeah.
The only issue is you kind of go down the middle, then you got to go down the sides.
Right.
So the handrail would obstruct it.
Yeah, right. But then you put this, if you put handrails down by the seat, then you can't get into the seats without breaking the handrail. So I was thinking, whatever. But see what you come up with.
Let's get an architect to look at it.
You can break
so do we have
the architect who the architect who designed it in the first place.
Designed it.
You know, I'm waiting for this discussion to end so I can say, you know, maybe I ought to be on this committee.
Yeah.
Bert designed it to begin with. For those who don't know, in 1962. So,
okay. Is there a deadline for the grant?
I don't recall what it is offhand, but I think you know
September 24.
Yeah, I sent
that's soon.
The applicant and submission process will be reviewed at a brief grant workshop to be held at 6 p.m. on Monday, September 24, 2018. I will tell you the minimum is 500, and it said it went up to 7,500 maximum.
Okay, good.
So
thank you.
So how about if we have Public Works look at it, but also maybe appoint an ad hoc committee?
Yeah, certainly Bert
so
should
it
be involved.
So it could be Bert and you and have a volunteer, one other?
Jeb?
Okay,
I'll volunteer her. Yeah.
But she's not here.
Well, she's not here.
Jeb,
right?
I'll do it if Jeff doesn't,
okay,
but
thanks.
Otherwise Jeff.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it is dollar for dollar matching.
Yes, dollar
matching
for dollar,
grant.
That's right.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
You raised $1 million to do that.
Oh, wow.
All right, the second order of new business is accepting the resignation of Maureen Parrott and starting the timeline of the municipal vacancy law.
Okay, I'm still on the ad hoc
committee. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Bert Ellen Tuck, Michael Tickton,
and Jeb, possibly
if she'll accept
Jeb,
it.
If she'll accept
if
it.
If not, I'll take it.
Okay. All right, so
accepting the resignation of Maureen Parrott and starting the timeline of the municipal vacancy law. So does that start tonight? Because it's so late, it's almost the next day. All right, it's August 13th. Starts.
The 28th, commuted until the 28th.
Okay, 15 days. And then the council has 15 days to approve the selection of the people.
The clerk and I will have
to. I should know how to do this already, but my brain is so fried right now. I can't even think about it.
And the clerk and I will look up what the. It's really close to the timeline.
It's, yeah, subsequent to September.
About whether it's got to be in November or the next following November. So we'll have to look up the title 18 and we'll figure it out and let you know the next meeting.
Okay.
Clerk of Elections will be ecstatic.
Oh.
Clerk of Elections loves you guys.
I was going to say, she's going to go, don't tell me it's from Roosevelt. Okay, do we have a need for a closed session?
Nope.
Where is it? Thank you.
Oh,
did
you have
I
to vote on the resolution.
Yeah, you forgot the public comment section.
Oh, I'm sure that was Freudian. Okay, I'm sorry. We come to the public comment on any item.
You have to vote on the resolution, right? Do we vote?
I am so. What resolution?
What
accepting
resolution?
The resignation.
Oh.
I don't think it. Do we vote?
Do we have to?
I don't know.
No,
we never
voted. Resolution.
Really? I don't think we ever voted before.
I mean, it's always been my practice when someone resigns.
It's
I think we did it for Robin. We
it's safer to do that.
It's you, so that there's a record in the minutes of when it happens, so that the timelines can are marked and continue if there's a dispute over the timeline about whether it's got to be on November ballot or later ballot. Mm.
Okay, so I just
so
want to say
accepting
resignation of Maureen Parrott on 8/13, and you and the council has till, what did you say, 8/28?
15 days, so 28.
Well,
yeah.
Ms. Parrott was elected as a Democrat?
The council doesn't
have
15 days.
So the Democratic
Party. Committee has 15 days. Then that initiates the council 15 days.
Right.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Yep. Right, and if the council, yeah.
Do I have a motion to accept the resignation of Maureen Parrott?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Do you want a roll call vote?
You want roll? I'm sorry.
How do you want it?
You want
make
roll
it official.
Call?
We'll do a roll call.
Okay. We'll do a roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's for the clerk's record.
Oh, okay. So now we come to public comment on any item. Anyone who hasn't spoken much? Yes.
So let's do public comment at
10:18.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for a great meeting. Jeff Klein, Homestead Lane.
We enjoyed every minute of it.
can Rosebud get a GoFundMe? Can we just GoFundMe page? Kickstarter page for water?
Kickstarter.
For water.
For water.
The
just get a Kickstarter page, $1 million. In all seriousness, I went over to, I heard this a while ago, I think maybe you told me, that the, because we're so far from Inalapan and the Monmouth County headquarters main library, that we may have an opportunity to be able to use Twin Rivers and maybe the Heightstown Library, being so on the edge of Monmouth County.
Well, you know, we always did for years.
Yeah, but
I
went to Twin Rivers and asked them if we had the ability to take materials out and to use their library in an official capacity. They said not without any kind of official paperwork in their system, and so they refused and said, no, you can't. So I said, what can we do? And they said, well, if the powers that be within your town, I can't do it myself and approach the Mercer County Library Division. I don't have that power, but they said as far as being able to get
a shared service?
Yeah, it's not really a shared service, but it's an interlibrary or something that's cross-county.
Oh,
yeah, whatever, there's an official term for it.
Exchange.
Who brokered the agreement? Because the Roosevelt kids go to Mercer County Community College rather than Brookdale.
I think this is separate because it's completely
separate.
We have that
for the college kids because it's so much more convenient to go to Mercer than Brookdale. Mm-hmm. So I know they used to let us do it. I just wonder who we speak to.
It's the head of the Mercer County Library Division.
Sure? Okay.
Yes, I'm sure. I spoke with them. I got the information from them. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody, I don't know how we would proceed forward with this. It would be a township thing. It wouldn't just be a personal thing for me.
I guess that would be something that I would do.
Yeah, would it be?
Probably. Yeah.
I think they're located in Lawrenceville, I believe, is the library headquarters. I'm not sure. I can certainly find out if it would make your life easier. But I can find out who would be the person.
Okay.
And get their telephone number and information if that way is one less thing for you to do. But I can't do it myself. I think it has to be in a official capacity.
Just email it to me.
Okay.
And then I'll just make the call.
Yeah,
and
I know
Cody. And then whether they agree or not, they need an official letter, and they'll discuss, I guess, with you further what Roosevelt would have to do to be able to. I don't know if it needs the whole Mercer County or at least the nearby libraries, Mercer, maybe Heightstown or at least Twin Rivers.
Because the library tax.
We'd have some access to a closer library.
Yeah, as far as the mileage.
Well, now it's very far.
Because Heightstown's 5 miles. Like the one on the lake is 5 miles.
And Twin Rivers is, 2 miles or 3 miles? Yeah. They have a nice branch there.
Oh, yeah, and Twin Rivers, same thing, 5 miles. Whereas Nalapan is
15.
Like 15 and
Allentown's a little
16.
Closer, but as a branch library, they're very small.
And it's still
really
nine. It's still 10 miles.
Yeah. East Windsor Library you have availability to. These are all closer.
Another thing
even
that
Allentown.
We did at one time, I know the school had a little satellite branch of the Monmouth County Library where people could go to the school one night a week for a couple hours and order books. It would be delivered
there,
and
you're
they could also return the books
there. Yeah.
So it was helpful.
We had a bookmobile.
Yeah, anything like that would be helpful. This certainly would be, too.
You're right, this would be just a little bit. It's just a good loop. And they seemed agreeable. They certainly didn't seem to have any. They just said, we can't do it because you're not
I'm
going to
remind people that we pay a library tax.
Yeah,
$100
and it's built in. When you pay taxes, part of it is a library tax. We should get services out of it. We pay for it.
They'll claim we do because we have libraries, but it's a bit travel restricted. That's all.
I don't mind that.
I thought it was at the school still, but no, nothing we have good services except for Allentown.
Yeah, because you do, or about that satellite that Mike talked about.
Yeah, we had that. We had that. We had the ability to go to Twin Rivers, and I don't know when it all stopped.
I mean, the libraries are good. Monmouth County Library's fine, and they're good, but it's just distance prohibitive a bit. You know, if you want to go to the library for an hour or two on a computer or something.
So how do we do
all right, so I'll get that information to Charlie. You guys. All right, thank you guys. Thank you.
Well, Cody's taking it. No, Cody's taking it.
Okay, you got it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's going to check with Monmouth County.
Hey, Mike.
Awesome.
Mike. Keep up here.
Cody.
I've only been here for 7 hours.
Mike.
It's done.
Okay, anybody else?
Yes. What do you think?
Okay. Michael Tickton, 37 North Valley. On that library thing, I would think we should talk to the Monmouth County Library because they may be able to have they may have some interlibrary arrangement with Mercer County already, or they might be able to enter into one or something. Rather than, I mean, if we're, as Mike said, we're paying a library tax to Monmouth County. We shouldn't, if we just go directly to Mercer, they'll say, fine, you pay us, so we're paying two library taxes.
Exactly.
That, you know, we shouldn't be paying a second library tax. That would be silly. We shouldn't want to do it, but I think we should talk to Monmouth County and see if they're willing to talk to Mercer
and let them do the loop.
Yeah, let them just make, you know, should work both ways between the two of them. They might very well have that already, actually.
We have Ocean. We are interlibrary with Ocean County.
Yeah, right. So, you know, Mercer could, Monmouth could do that with Mercer if they want. If somebody raises it, maybe they will. I mean, you know, the Monmouth County doesn't think too much in terms of Mercer County because, you know, we're the part of Monmouth County where not too many people live. So they're much, right, they're much more concerned with Ocean County because that's where the, you know, the more the interaction is going to be. Okay. The other thing I had on the Green Acres, the question was, what is Green Acres? You have to also be careful, beware that some of the, what we're calling Green Acres isn't really Green Acres. There's municipally owned land, which is what we're talking about, because some of the public land is state-owned land. So that, you know, the borough is certainly not going to be involved in paying anybody for state-owned, although we may, you know, help people. If we're just going to help people who have a tree fall on their property, maybe, you know, we might do that, but not because we have an obligation to. And, you know, maybe we should think about if we're going to pay anything, maybe we should say people have to go to their insurance company first and then tell us what they couldn't collect from their insurance company. And maybe we pay, you know, we might reimburse them the deductible. If we're going to reimburse them anything, reimburse them the deductible. But we shouldn't be reimbursing people money they could, you know, if they would just submit it to their insurance company, they'd be paid. You know, then that doesn't make too much sense.
Mike, where do we find out about that differentiation of Green Acres? Who is what?
Look at the tax. I'll be happy to show you. Look at the tax map.
Yeah, it's on the deed.
It's on the tax map.
Deeds. Okay.
No, we can just show you on the tax map anytime you want. I'll show you exactly where it is. And let's see what else. Oh, yeah, on sewer pipes, one of the questions is that you would televise the sewer line to see where the obstruction was. I mean, that, of course, is putting in an added burden on the homeowner because if the tree is on his property, then he's paying for a service he didn't necessarily need, you know, whatever extra service that is. You know, my own experience was that when they put a snake through, they can tell you where, you know, how far they have to go when they hit the roots.
Well,
if it is roots, that's a problem.
I couldn't find anything in the code, by the way.
You're right.
This
so
is an existing form that Roosevelt has.
I understand, yeah, right. But yeah. I'm saying the televising may be imposing a burden on the homeowner who's affected by this problem of roots breaking into their sewer line it may not be necessary because if they operate a snake, they can tell you how far out it is and you can measure it.
I want to talk to the operator, who will do that
and give you a certification.
I want to talk to the new operator and see what he thinks. Also,
yeah, right, okay,
because
sure.
He does quite a few towns, and
yeah,
this
sure.
is a normal occurrence. And
yes.
So
okay, good. Very good. Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Bert?
Yeah, this is actually bears on something that Councilman Bowen said about the 911 system. You all know that my son-in-law, it's Bert Allentuck, by the way, that my son-in-law, John Reuter, is disabled. Mm-hmm. And usually when when something happens and he has a seizure or something of that nature, the Roosevelt First Aid Squad takes him to the hospital. In the past month or so, he's had two seizures, and my daughter called 911. Obviously, the 911 call did not get transferred in any way to the Roosevelt First Aid Squad. And so a different squad came and picked him up, not Millstone. I believe it was probably Monarch.
I was going to say, was it the paramedics? Because when they call, when the paramedics come, it's Monarch.
Yeah,
EMTs.
It was probably Monarch. Yeah. Those rides to the hospital cost, we have bills, $1,000 each. I think that somehow, and I assume that what happened was that the 9/11 operator did not make any effort to call the Roosevelt First Aid Squad, but instead called Monarch.
Do you think she did that based on the information she was given?
No, I think she. I think that's her. I have a feeling that's SOP for her. But I'm no. So I'm sure that. I'm sorry. I'm sure that if we could follow up with what Mr. Bowen suggested, that we would be assured that the Roosevelt. We could somehow be assured that the Roosevelt First Aid Squad would be the people who responded.
I mean, I may not be right. Maybe Jeff can clarify this, but I thought if it's heart or stroke related, then
paramedics
automatically come. Now I know it could be very indirectly.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
it wasn't. He had a seizure. He didn't have another stroke.
I didn't realize you were still here.
So you don't know. I mean, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder really if it's SOP because they gave him the information that he.
Paramedics come automatically. The paramedics. Generally, do not transfer to the hospital. You usually have an ambulance with it. Right. I don't know if that's still the case, Mark. I haven't ridden for a while. You would know better than me. But paramedics are called out.
Monroe County has a list of people, organizations. What is supposed to happen is that obviously Roosevelt First Aid gets hit out first, and Monarch will get hit out for advanced life support, or it may be Robert Wood Johnson. It could be any paramedic unit. We're sort of like in the devil's triangle here because of where we sit.
Yep.
Monarch BLS is pretty much non-existent anymore. So, had they been showing up, they probably won't be showing up anymore because they don't have crews on the road. But they're supposed to go. We have a backup list. If I can't get a crew on the storm of daytime, especially, there are backups now. There are problems that are starting to occur in this area. Millstone First Aid has basically collapsed. They're going to a paid system, which is going to collapse because of the way they're doing it. And not listening to the people they should be listening to, or listen to a fire chief who wants to make money. Not the Millstone fire chief, but somebody to bring in. So that's going to have a problem. That's going to cost a lot of money. There are a lot of easier ways to do it. In the meantime, we have backup crews, and we have already started working on re-exchanging things. Millstone was always our first backup. We also realize that they have gigantic. They have basically two operators right now, answer first aid calls. And then they have paid people the rest of the time. We're rearranging who our backups are, and there are things happening in Monmouth County right now that are getting even more complicated that we're changing things with because they realize that this is becoming a problem. One of the reasons we don't, and we look at First Aid Squad is looking at Roosevelt and how we want my family to be treated for the call we were having. We could call Monroe. You think that $1,000 bill is expensive? Yeah. Wait till they roll it. And they will go after you for the last nickel. And they have said that. We'll be glad to come in Roosevelt. We have hard bill, which means they come after you, you don't pay it, they take it to court. We're trying to eliminate that problem. We're in discussions with a couple different organizations to try to solve that. English Town Manalapan has a different organization they're working with. So there's a lot of flux right now in this area. Monmouth County is supposed to dispatch Roosevelt First Aid Squad. The reason we went to that active 911 on the phones is because, believe it or not, in Roosevelt, sometimes our pagers go off, sometimes they don't because of our physical location.
And concrete houses.
Well, no, it's the way the towers are set up. It's just not. Concrete houses aren't the biggest problem. It's the tower set up because there are different communication systems now. However, Monmouth County is not set up to dispatch on that type of frequency. We have radios now that the county graciously gives for $10,000 worth of radios for that we can talk to them very clearly. They just can't dispatch us over. They don't tone alerts. So So we understand there's a problem, and if people come up with a problem like that, we'd like for you to tell us, because that gives us more ammunition when we talk to other organizations. Mm-hmm. The more information we have, the more information we have to be able to solve the problem. So if people have problems and they get ambulances, there may be a reason. Maybe it's during the day, and if anybody would like to volunteer, we'd be glad to have you. During the day, we just don't have any members around. People are working. We're answering the night weekend calls really well. Daytime, depends. Did I leave for work yet? You know, fortunately, I go in later, so I answer calls at about 8 o'clock in the morning. So it helps that way. But bottom line is, we understand the problem. If people come up with problems like that, please let us know so we get more ammunition to go after with. Monmouth County Sheriff is very proactive EMS, because he was, I actually used to work out with him as an EMT. He was a paramedic. He was a police officer and became sheriff. He's done a lot for EMS and advancing in Monmouth County, and we're still working with him trying to do that. So, yes, I apologize. The squad came in and sent him this bill, and that's what we're trying to stop. And if we don't know what's happening, we're having trouble stopping that.
Okay. I'd like to stop it because it's going to cost me $2,000.
Yeah, I would like to see it stop. That. One of our biggest concerns is we don't want people getting, for lack of a better way to say this, I don't really care if people get bills if they accept your insurance money. Which
yeah, soft billing.
Bill someone will accept. If they bill you $1,000 and the insurance company gives them $400, they give $400, you're okay with it. Okay. Allentown is the same thing. Robert Wood Johnson, who covers the Mercer County area, sort of same thing, isn't quite as forgiving. So we're playing a devil's advocate game here, trying to move things around. Every day we're finding out different things that are happening. And so sorry that happened, but I'm glad I found out about you. I'll try to fix it.
You know, one thing, if we have employees here in town that are around, they can join the squad and get trained and then be available to answer the calls during the day.
We will pay for your training. No matter what the cost.
You know, the training is available, and we do pay for it. So, but as you know, Steve, if you're free, guys, would like to, and you're interested, we talk about the 911. That's one way to help the town, and also, get the 911 fund and be aware of
it. Okay. Mr. Cragen, please make it short. 10:36.
Okay. Bob Cragen, 7th School Lane. At the last Utilities Committee meeting, I requested of our utility operators to prepare reports. The water and sewer guys both were there. And I requested that they prepare reports for the town of what it would cost in their estimation to do 3 different levels of repair of the water and sewer, each appropriately addressing each side of that. I was wondering if you heard anything back from them, or if not, could we encourage them to possibly come to the next council meeting and give us a report as to what it would cost to renovate each of the water and sewer systems in 3 levels, a just base level, keeping it functioning, a mid-level in terms of what would be a practical and not totally expensive way to fix things, and a 3rd level, blue sky, if they had all the money in the world, what would they recommend in terms of the fixes for the water sewer?
The water and sewer guys put a report on our website on a monthly basis, and they are in the process of correcting all the DEP violations now. Beyond that, then maybe we can get them to do your extra reports. They're busy doing what needs to be done at this point.
That's understood. Okay. Is it possible to ask them to attend the next meeting of the council based on the fact that we're talking about repair, or at least the water guy, to have him come in and talk about the H2O guy, to have him come in and have him talk about what his ideas would be vis-a-vis Carmela's ideas and the repairs that we're about to vote on for the bond.
He works hand-in-hand with Carmela. She's the engineer for Allentown also. He does the Allentown water over there.
Understood.
They're in agreement with what's being done right now, and I spoke with him about lining the pipes today. He says Trenton does that all the time now. We're exploring other options. I don't think we need to have him charge us extra money for what him and Carmela already agree on. Should do our own research on also. You're welcome to do research on all of this stuff, too. I put in, like, this past week, 20 hours in research. That's why I called a special meeting today.
Understood.
Thank you.
The only thought I had was that having them come to the meeting here would allow the council members and the public to address their expertise separately from Carmela. Maybe Carmela can't come to the meeting. Maybe they could. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Can we go for a record here?
We've been going at this
since 3 o'clock this afternoon. So,
I've been at work since early this morning too.
But we haven't stopped since three. So, if you could just please make it brief.
Okay. First off, as far as the trees go, just a little bit of history. And I haven't lived in this town long, but I know it's reality. You're not going to see a lot of cost because the fire department used to come down. So. That's something you got to factor into it. You're not going to see cost because there was no cost because the fire department came out.
Well, not always.
Pretty much any time somebody's tree fell, if they needed help, the fire department went out and cut their tree out. Maybe not always. I will admit that. They didn't get every tree. But they did a lot of them that most towns wouldn't do.
We've done a few.
Suggestion, because of the way this meeting went tonight, and it's not meant to be an insult to anybody, but it's apparent that there needs to be some regrouping. The New Jersey League of Municipalities offers training. They will probably come here and help you smooth out some of the wrinkles. Controlling the meetings, how should they go? It's embarrassing that the state police came here tonight.
What did
for,
they
I don't know. Well, somebody called them. They don't just
call them. Someone obviously called them.
Yeah, they don't just go poof.
Okay.
And
they looked really happy too.
They look really thrilled.
Why did you call us?
Most of them, they probably just drove 30 minutes and 90 miles an hour to get here. So maybe that's something you might want to look at. It may be free. Do you belong to them? I'm assuming, unless you're different than any other municipality in the state. I'm not trying to say that you don't know what you're doing, but you might need their professional help to tighten the ship up a little bit so that we don't have the type of thing here. I've been to a lot of large meetings. I've never seen state troopers come in for something as minor as what was happening in this building. I've never seen the local sheriff come in for something as minor as happening here. So, yeah, maybe we need a sheriff. So it's just something I'd like for you to think about, but I really think it would be important that you get a hold of the meeting.
And you'd stated your case. Do you have anything else?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt your time. My God.
You made your case, Mr. Connors. It's a quarter
and
of 11.
You made your case. You're the only one that puts any time into anything in the world. You've been here since 3 o'clock.
I have an exhausted table
here. My work, they didn't start at 3 o'clock.
Any more public?
Anything else from the public? Okay. So, do you have a motion to adjourn?
Wait, closing the public at 10:40.
10:41.
10:41. Motion. Motion to adjourn. Anybody?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Oh, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I'm out.
41. Hello, Dave.